July 2012.
Russ on?
Yeah, I heard Russ on.
I talked to Tall yesterday. He said he was coming.
The phone and see who's on.
Houseman will be here at 9:30.
I heard Russ was on the phone. Anybody else? For F bomb.
Brad and Walla Walla.
Okay, Brad Trumbo from Walla Walla's on.
Brad, anybody else? All right. Well, let's get started.
We got one addition to the agenda.
Okay.
If you want to do that first or not, but
well,
first, guys, run the meeting, Vern. I'll wait till you ask.
Yeah. Why don't you just let me run the meeting and no, I'm joking.
No.
Shut your pie hole up
bolts,
down there.
Bolts going on, and I'm thinking.
All right. Well, today is
I love these professional meetings.
There's only a few people in the room, so let's go around and introduce myself. Is Bernard Klatt?
I told my wife that I'm doing.
Jamie
Mackey.
John Rarisich.
Doug Bowes.
John Bailey.
Ann Sutter.
Derek Fredericks.
David Wills.
And on the phone we have Russ Kiefer and Brad Trumbo. How do you say it?
Trumbo.
Yeah,
right.
Trumbo. Anybody else? Okay, so let's go over the agenda. I know we have an add-on for Walla Walla, which is what?
Little Goose Doble testing, date change.
Doble testing. Okay. Anybody else want to add something? Dave? Gary?
I do have a handout I wanted to send around.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of discussion.
The white paper?
No.
Okay.
Not that. I'm not really going to send that around. That's maybe for the team.
For the team. Okay, but you do have a handout.
I do.
Which is on?
It's on John Day, North Ladder Passage.
Okay. All right.
Compliment some of the things that Bob.
And do you want to discuss that or just hand it out?
Oh, I can, like a few words.
Sure.
That's all.
Okay. Anybody else have anything?
I was thinking the last meeting that you were going to introduce the need possibly for a task force somewhere before the winter to look at adult fish counting and where we might be able to back off where we didn't have things that were critical any longer from an economic standpoint. We had talked about that and we talked about bringing it last month and we didn't, so we had to talk about with the group here. Before we go into another year, as we're looking at our costs, we have kind of brought a little to the table that maybe some discussion of what is critical. We've been adding on different things over the years, and you know we're having difficulty getting everything funded, and so we were going to review with... Well, I'm not sure about plenty of money, but everything helps.
What I thought we had done, though, was to revisit that already and come up with a schedule of winter counting that would shift from dam to dam to dam to fortify the counts.
This is after that. You're right. That took place, but that was since that time. We have kind of some additional issues in terms of being able, as we see it, to find funding for where the costs appear to be going. And so there's kind of a need to look at where we have legal commitments, then where we have other things that aren't legal commitments, and have kind of some discussion with folks of if and when.
Because that was just last year that we talked about that.
But recall, you know, we're in the process of renegotiating, you know, contracts and things like that. And, well, so costs go up as contracts get renegotiated.
Let's get a task group. You can share it from Walla Walla since all you right. guys are the CORs of the contract.
All right.
And
I want to be on it, please.
Okay.
I'll be on it as the Portland rep.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Well, actually,
it is becoming an issue.
I was asking for winter counts, so I guess I'm the person.
Well, I'm asking for winter counts too.
Yeah. Okay.
So, are there trade-offs? Is what we'll end up discussing in those meetings. And let's have one. In September.
Okay, yeah, September.
September after a bomb.
Actually, what we could do is just do away with mid-season counting, just count and win.
Well, we want to put some options on the table of places where what we're doing is not critical because the costs, like everything, is going up, and we are having a hard time keeping all of the things that we do on the table as we move into future years, at least from Wall Wall's perspective.
Yeah, mine too.
I mean,
cutting back
tough.
On counting is, I think, a great idea, but we do need data for when we have these decisions to make in November, December.
Yep. But so we just want to kind of...
That's where the data are lacking. We got tons of data.
So let's just lay out what's essential, what's good to have, and what's
must have. We got FITAG information
must
that
have.
Can help fortify what we are with the historical information. So yeah, I think there's places where we can just cut off counting, but we do need that late season information.
I understand that.
So do you want to meet up with the September FPOM?
Yeah, September FPOM, let's meet.
Okay.
And start having these kind of discussions and maybe get something together beforehand.
So like after the FPOM meeting or something?
Yeah.
Right after.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, so let's, any other action or any other items to add to the agenda? Okay, so let's approve the June 2012 FPOM minutes. Any comments?
As edited.
Thumbs up?
I didn't look at them as edited, sorry. Send comments in.
All right. Well,
the comments you sent were the edited version. You had Bouses, so if we accept yours.
So your comments are included.
I
read
you.
We got it. Okay.
I read you.
You did?
Thanks, Bill.
Right on, Bill. Way to go.
I didn't have any comments.
Okay. I had lots.
Dave, you good?
I didn't get to them, but I'm not going to.
Okay. All right. Consider those meetings approved as edited. All right, let's get right into Walla Walla's action items.
Okay. There was going to be a meeting on Crane 9 and 10 that didn't take place in July out with the project, so I don't think there was any update from Greg in terms of a memorandum of coordination to follow it up. But this is all work for mid-December, so it's way out. And so we'll just kind of kick this one out another month. Basically, everybody knows Crane 9 and 10 are due to be replaced in the winter. People are trying to move up the time frame back from the normal winter work window, possibly a little earlier, so that they could work on the Oregon Fish Ladder and do some of the inspections that haven't been able to be done for a couple of years. That's really the gist of what this is all about. So.
So
we will get
Greg will send up.
I think we're gonna kick this one out another month and say that we'll still.
So we're talking January.
Month. What they want to do is truck. See, he was working, or there's been discussions with the PM going back to the contractor to see if they could get them to be done by late January at the latest, so there would be time to take the ladder down during the normal work period, but. I don't believe it's been finalized yet between the contractor and the Corps.
So you're going to kick out a month as the MLC or the actual work?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not going to do anything in the work until we coordinate with you. We're just going to kick out the MLC and give you an update.
Right, so the timing is working. The time you're going to do the work is probably the same, you know.
The only thing that's going to possibly happen, is, whether the mid-December is still the request or just... That's the only thing that's on the table. Sorry to not be clear on that.
That's okay.
We'll be waiting.
Yeah. We'll be waiting.
Yeah, you'll be holding your breath on that one. We'll be glad if we can get those cranes in, though. It's a start towards, that, and then we're...
Well, the service has considered putting them on the endangered species list, this particular crane.
Failing cranes.
What you put there also is the Washington Shore
elusive failing crane.
That we need to close off the Washington Shore ladder because it's... and maybe fish pump number two.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we have some. So, let's see.
All right, let's do 212.
Okay. So
Goose. Granite.
That's granite. We had a
blade
little
angle,
pre-meeting discussion on this. Russ, at the last meeting, as well as the meeting before, had asked some questions related to how the angle of the blade was chosen and some of the specifics. And I think it wasn't until Monday that we got the reports forwarded to Russ. I did ask Marvin and or Martin Ahman to give him a call. I'm not sure if Marvin ever was in contact directly with you, Russ. Did you ever have the...
Marvin and I did get to discuss this a little bit on, I think, Tuesday.
So...
Maybe Wednesday. who knows, but yes.
So where are you at?
Well, it was one as far as I'm getting more comfortable as I'm reading the report, and my concern, I just wanted to make sure we're making a wise decision, is that as part of the coordination request that Greg sent out, there was a figure that showed the operating ranges at different blade angles, and it looked like that the 28.5 degree angle, some of those operations were touching that upper 1% operating range blind. And so, and then when we tested 30.5, it was above that 1% line. And so I was concerned that we might be welding, or when we re-weld that angle on that blade, that we could be welding at an angle that during some of our operations could be outside of that 1% range. I've been reading the report, getting my mind around it, and so from my understanding is that, you know, the intent was to try to get it so that at an angle that when you set the wicket gates, and I'm not an engineer, I don't understand all the details, but you have the most open geometry there, and the intent was to get it close to that 1% line. And so as Marvin explained to me, is that they're not going to be operating at different ranges in there. Those were testing different wicket gate settings, each of those little curves and the figure that Greg sent out, is that their intent is to get one setting that is just below that upper 1% efficiency line. And with that open geometry, and it's that open geometry that fish going through the tunnel should be experiencing the best conditions for going through the turbine. I've been reading the report. It is interesting that in the report it keeps talking about that they have settled on the best angle is 29 degrees.
Have joined the conference.
Not much difference between 29 and 29.5, but the one thing is, and I understand this point is based on what I'm reading here, is that currently we can run 13,000 CFS through turbine one within that range. Welding that blade, it looks like it here is that they think they can get a turbine loading of approximately 14,500 CFS. Is what the thinking could be. So I wasn't saying I saw something that was definitely a concern to me. I just wasn't certain, and I'm not one of the SAM managers that knows the turbine stuff as well as others, and so I just wanted to make sure that when we welded that blade, it was at the blade angle that did match our best design and what we want to do there.
So you might have missed the March meeting, because that's when Rich Hilt from the Granite Project called in and gave a fair amount of background on that. And you know, that it was the project that actually brought it in once they noticed before the season. It was a week or two before we actually started spill season that they were off.
Right.
And he kind of went through that, and there was some discussion. And so I guess one thing that I heard as you were just talking is that originally you mentioned 28.5, and then as you went on through your discussion, you went to 29.5. So I don't have the original coordination form in front of me at this point in time to verify which it is. Do you have it?
Oh, no. Well, the plan is welded at 29.5 degrees.
Okay.
The 28.5 was the curve on the graph that Greg sent out that was closest to the upper 1% and actually touched that 1%. So what I was looking at was a figure in Greg's coordination form that showed a curve with different widget gate settings of where the different blade angles would be, and 28.5 was just under, and all the points were under on that curve were under the upper 1%. And then the next angle they test was 30.5, and all the points were above the 1%. And that was my question, is if we weld it at 29.5, are some of our operations going to be above that upper 1% efficiency level?
I thought it said 29.
Yeah.
Well, now I've got the report that Marvin just sent me the other day, and it's just talking about 29 degrees.
Okay, so 29 sounds like it. What your concern was is that there were no data points on here to demonstrate that 29 was, in fact, below the upper 1%, kind of the dotted line that they had, even though all of the kind of points that they put on here basically were under, and then it was just kind of showing how, you know, generator output on one and efficiency on the other. And so the efficiency starts to drop off once you get past, it looks like, the 28.5, but maybe at 29 you're still just there below the upper 1% line. So how do you...
Yeah, it sounds like you're looking at that graph that Greg sent out.
Yeah, someone had it and passed it to me after I said I didn't have it. So yeah, I am.
Okay, yeah. So you're saying what I'm looking at is... that was my concern, is that, you know, what Greg provided, they had data for and graph, and so focusing on what they graphed was 28.5, and then 30.5 was on either side of that upper 1% line.
Right.
And the plan, the coordination from Greg said that the plan was to weld it at 29.5 degrees. Was the intent, and my concern was we'd be right on that line and potentially over it in our operation.
So,
and now I'm looking at the report that was done in 2009, and there they're saying that 29 degrees, and probably in the last couple of years someone's gone back and got more fine on it, decided that 29.5 was slightly better than the 29 in this report.
Well, the thing here, I've worked on this quite a bit, and that, what report are you looking at?
It is one that Marvin Shutter sent me.
What's the title on it?
Kaplan, Volume 1, May 2009.
Okay. Is it a final report?
That's what it says.
Okay, I haven't even seen that. There's been several issues regarding this issue. I don't really care too much about the 1% as I do about if we're going to weld these blades at a particular angle and keep them that way for many years in the future. We probably should be doing the kind of due diligence, beat analysis type work that we've done with new runner designs, considering that those are for the long term as well. And there's been a lot of discussion about
what this was done, and I'm looking at figures here that is runner percent beat contact scores.
You have those on there? Okay, so this
that's
is the
this
at what angle?
Yeah.
And well, there's a new twist too, and that's cavitation fins that some folks are talking about attaching to these blades, and that's another twist that, if that goes forward, then we need to make sure we do the same level of model analysis. So I wasn't aware that they did that much beat analysis with that, though. Okay. You've got that.
So, Russ, the other question I have is they passed me this is back on the March 14th form. I'm seeing 29 degrees. I'm not seeing 29.5.
Oh, okay.
Well, so I'm seeing consistently 29 degrees,
okay.
And that it sounds like, you know, I think
that matches the report.
Yeah, and I think we have to understand, you know, that they're shooting probably for somewhere between 28.5 and 29, and that, you know, the precision out there in the field is not that 0.5 degrees.
No, that's
so. So they're giving you the upper end. They're giving you the 28.5 data point, and saying, you know, let's go for 29 because we don't know how close we can really get to 28.5.
Yeah, how do you measure that?
Well,
you know, they probably got the protractor at some point when they start, but you know,
you're welding it.
I've heard a lot of
welding it.
I've heard a lot of talk about actually getting those angles right, and that's going to be very difficult.
Well,
impossible.
So, you know, the first time, obviously, it didn't work because they weren't shooting for 31.5.
Right. That's what they ended up
with. And they ended up with 31.
Question in my mind came out, was that just a lack of paying attention to what they were doing, or that's just inherent in the technology or the skill that's available to build these things? I mean, is that
very
an example of the standard error?
Design, no.
Yeah.
I don't think the standard error is quite that bad. That's why they wanted to go back in and try it again. But I think within 0.5 degrees is within the standard error.
All right. Well, that sounds reasonable.
Kind of my understanding.
That sounds reasonable.
So I appreciate the fact that you had this, Dave.
So what are the next steps here?
I got just one statement to make before we go to the next steps.
All right.
My concern, what I heard Russ say, is is this true? We're going from the capability of the upper end being 13,000, now to the upper end being 14.5. Is this true?
That was at 29.5.
We can ask that question.
Why I ask that question is what this even concerns me more than the turbine hydraulics. This concerns. That's an additional 1,500 in the gate well, and that's enough there to change the gate well hydraulics and make it a lot less safe for fish waiting in there to get through the orifice.
You certainly want to test that.
I would think
before you
didn't
actually
find that out at McNary.
Three dams now.
A 1,500 CFS difference.
Could John Day McNary Bonneville
with extended link springs
or even standard springs.
So that's the record to find that out too.
That's the question, is what it is at 29, what's the upper end in volume?
And you want to know the flow into the gate?
Because it sounds like that was 29.5.
Well, I don't know if we're going to know that.
I'm reading into here, and I was incorrect on that 29.5. It is planned for 29 degrees, I do see in this request, so I was wrong there.
That's been that way for a long time.
Well, my question is what we tested with the E-screens and the gate well environment going to stay the same, or is it going to be different with this?
If the Q is higher, it will be different.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
That's my question.
Yeah. So it's going up from 13.5 to 14.5.
I don't know. It just seemed that way when I was trying to read this thing.
We can have that as a do out to double check. We can ask that question and come back with that information.
Potentially.
We likely tested know the hydraulics of the gate well at 13,000, if that's the way we've operated at Grand for years. We probably, during the E-screen test, found that out.
I would say that we were not made aware, as we went into this coordination, that we were taking this any place that was outside what we normally had been doing.
Yeah.
Well, that was the assumption I had.
Yeah. That's just how it was coordinated with us with the project. So that's what I can tell you, but I can certainly go back and ask for an upper end of what we think is going to go through with the 29 degrees.
Well, it sounds like the report has all that.
Does the report tell you how much flow will be going into the gate well then at 29 degrees, Russ?
I could be wrong in this, you know, because this report is talking about other projects as well, so I may be on another project.
It's all the BLH units, but they're all the same. It's John Day's got them, the Snake River
First Stage. Yeah, it's report for all those type of units, so it may be slightly different. I haven't read this thing closely enough. I could be wrong. I am reading this.
Well, the flow should be.
If it says the flow split that occurred at this operating point would match a turbine loading of approximately 14,500 CFS.
Well, if there's a beat analysis in there, the flow levels should be laid out. specifically.
So we have to look at the FPP, which I brought last time and I didn't bring this time. Okay, maybe we'll take a look at that, because what is the upper end of 1% at Granite and Goose? We go fairly high to stay within 1%. And so I think
that's what we tested, the East Greens and the Gatewell environment.
Well, what I don't understand, and I'm not an engineer, so I easily don't understand this, is if this used to be a Kaplan blade that would adjust, and it ran at one point up to the upper limit of 1%, how is that any different than the setting it's going to be at?
Unless they're adjusting the blade angle. Then
it's a good smart work.
Right.
They're trying something better. Yeah. They think they know better.
Depends on what the blade angle was when it was.
It's typically above the 1%, although I don't know what the generator limit is.
But if they're saying they're going to be within the 1%,
yeah, well, then
how do they?
Then that should be fine.
That's right. What I was right. Thinking. Yeah. Maybe it's too simplistic. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's get the report.
Yeah.
Everybody should have a copy.
So, yeah. You know, I guess depending on the head, I see the lower end for units 1 to 3 being around pretty close to 12,000, 11,800, yeah. And the upper end being up at 20,000.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
so either of these is. Are well within the 1% range of what we're currently doing.
Those flows. Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on the head now. If you've got that thing set, right. As the head changes, your flow will change.
The head will change.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the only big difference you got to be worried about.
Yeah.
So at your if you're trying to be most conservative, I would think you would look at that blade angle with the highest head possible and see what the gatewell effects would be.
Yeah.
And we'll be operating at MOP all summer long, so we'll be the lowest rain, right?
Are we dredging? Are we going to be at MOP? We haven't been at MOP for a couple of years, John.
I was going to say, John,
I'm
going to be
fluctuating. But I'm in the summer.
So I don't want to care about that.
We have some other stuff going on up there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We are fluctuating.
I retract that.
Fluctuating potentially between to MOP plus one and MOP plus two, depending on
where. Oh, that's three. Navigation stuff.
All right, so to wrap, let's wrap this one because it's taking some time. Sounds like we need to get this report out, and we need to get those numbers verified at the blade angle that's proposed.
I think we kind of answered that with just looking at this. But
there's some beat analysis done.
Needs to lay out
we need to look at
that blade angle. Given
you've got a set range, you should be able to put a table together pretty quick.
That's just lower.
So we're going to be operating at the lower end of the pool anyway.
You have two variables head and lip blade opening.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah.
Does that sound fair to you, Russ? If we get that, get a chart together that's got those operating ranges at that fixed blade angle, so we can see what the volumes is.
I just wanted to make sure and have other folks at New Mark office look at this, make sure since we're going to be setting our priority unit at more granite at a set angle, I want to make sure that we're picking.
Yes.
The best angle.
No, I agree.
That's all I wanted to do. And what I saw was a little bit concerning to me that we might be pushing it up a 1% range.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you in that respect, Russ, in that if this fixed blade at the full head of the reservoir, the normal full reservoir head, is outside the 1% range, then you've got to tone it down a bit.
Yeah, it sounds pretty unlikely, though. But yeah,
but that's what you have to look at.
We can
double check that. But the flow ranges he just gave are well below that, suggestive that it isn't really. Let's get more information.
That table was built for a thing that would change its angle.
Right, and this is going to be fixed. Yeah. And so there's going to be they have to operate within 1%. So there's going to be certain flows that they're going to be able to operate this within now. It's going to be a fixed band when they can bring it on so that they can stay within 1% and when they have to shut it down. There's going to be a flow range cap now.
Well, I didn't realize that they were actually going to bring it off and on.
Yeah, so think about LOMO, Unit 1. Okay. They don't bring that on now until they can put 15 through it. As soon as they can't put 15K through it, it comes offline and someone else has to replace
all
that
right.
unit.
I forgot about that. Okay, good.
You might, I don't know.
But we will get more information just to try to help.
You could have HDC put a table out. I mean, that's what they're for, guys. That's their jobs. Have them put together a table of flow per head for this 29 degree and how they would normally set the wicking gate saving or the wicking gate settings. And then that could be something that could go in a fish passage plan as a...
Yeah.
Once it gets
limits,
welded.
You know, and everybody knows. Everybody has it, and it's from the experts.
There's your action.
Easy enough.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Russ. All right. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, let's move on to McNary's summer spill, 4050.
Okay, John, you want to cover that one?
Okay, you might recall that there was some confusion at the time of the changeover from taking TSWs out at McNary at base 19 and 20. And at the time, they didn't get both of them out, and there was some question as to what spill pattern you use when changing them out. There were some differences between the fish passage plan and what the FOX says. And so anyway, I went through the GDAX data and actually looked at the gate positions and what they were doing during that whole period. And it looks like the spill pattern 9, which is the pattern with both TFWs and surface, which a modified version of that was utilized during the weir removal period. And they didn't get the one in Bay 20 out until Saturday after they got it all done. And then the remaining, let's see.
Which is outside. We spoke of this last time that we were going to come back with more information because the operator was out and John was working this because we had originally coordinated to take it out Wednesday and Thursday. Then we kicked it to Thursday and Friday and we all thought it was out. And the day before we came to the meeting, John discovered that it hadn't gotten out until Saturday and there was a question whether or not they had used the appropriate spill pattern.
Right.
And what's the answer?
And the language of the FOP is different than what it is in the fish passage plan.
The answer is that it was hard to interpret because of the way the FOP was written. It didn't match the FPP. And we had an FPP change form that everybody agreed on last year. And so when the project went to implement it, they did not follow kind of what you would interpret the FOP to say because they were working in between. And so during that period for Friday night through Saturday, they weren't using the pattern that we would have thought they would have been using.
Which one were they using?
Right.
They were using
the fish passage plan?
The pattern you use for the TFWs in service. Kind of a modified
7,
and they let the weir self-adjust to get the right flow rate in there.
So we usually went from table 7 to table 10 when we were taking them out, and then once they were out, back to 9 for the summer. When they deviated from 7 and went to 10 Friday night, when they had to put them back in service, somehow they went back to 7, table 7. So
because
they asked us for clearer language because when you went to both of them, right, it was counter. And
so they followed the FOP.
Anyway. But then when RCC sent them their direction for the summer, they clarified, you know, from this point on, you use table 9, and they're following the direction they're given by RCC. They got caught in a, I don't know if they got caught.
It's the classic when you update the FPP, tables change, we screwed up, that change in the FPP didn't get translated into the FOP, and so because of a formatting upgrade in the FPP, it didn't get translated, and so it was a technical oversight.
Okay.
We'll make sure we look forward next year and make sure that the FPP tables are consistent with the FOP.
So I now have a bit of a change form.
So he's got an FPP change form that will clarify.
Fire
that
up some
better.
Sugar.
Okay.
So we're going to put that out there just electronically. So when we go through at the end of the year FPP change forms, this will be one of those that will be in the slot that we'll discuss.
Okay.
Or we can just make sure that the FOP accurately cites the FPP, because that's kind of what
happened,
wouldn't
that be something?
Basically.
Well, we could just get rid of the FOP.
That's politically difficult.
Yes. Oh, Tom's in the room.
Doug, because you'll recall McNary was the place where we could never get folks that you work with at division to change the wording to be consistent with what we had coordinated last year for the FPP.
But even on the table,
it was specific to this changeover and the wording and the dates.
Okay.
It was really specific to this. So this is part of the problem.
Okay.
So we'll just retry it.
Work more
internally. These guys don't care.
I know.
Okay. Let's get along.
You know, what I do, I do care is that I don't agree with this. What I've seen in the FOP is incorrect. I don't know where it came from.
I can clarify why it's incorrect, though. It's just literally, we upgraded the FPP, for example.
Well, what's incorrect?
Thank you.
FOP.
I'm hearing a lot. There's a lot in the FOP. Is it
correct? Cited as it had the old operation. Format. The old format.
One operation.
The 20.
Exactly.
To 2011. It has by default. It has all the language from the 2011 FOP. That format cited the 2011 FPP.
Failed.
So it had the wrong table name.
Correct.
All it had was the wrong table name in the POP.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
The way this should work, simply, the way it works is you have a TSW pattern
until you change it.
You have a non-TSW change pattern for a couple of days.
I get it.
And then you have...
This was the formatting.
You
have
regular, you don't have a TSW 10 pattern until the end of June.
Until we start the summer pattern, yeah.
Don't do that. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, so where you want to go
when you're running in normal operation.
I think where you want to go is as soon as we take the TSWs out, we go to the new pattern regardless of the level, and that's how I interpreted it. And John and I had that discussion.
We're on the same page with the operation.
So
we screwed up on a formatting issue.
So next year, we need to work on this internally.
But
we're going to put a little form for FPP change out there so that we try to get this straight when we go through FPP change.
I don't agree with this, but I think I hear
what you don't agree with, and it's what I, when I read this before, I said, well, that's not what my impression was, but I didn't have the FOP to double check.
I
put it to be consistent with what the
Okay. And you're right, John. Yeah. It is exactly what the FOP says, which is wrong. But it's wrong way to run the project.
So we could change this in the course of discussion.
So as a new
and somehow fix the FOP the next time around.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's update this change form as it goes electronically to be what Gary just said and what we've talked about that makes sense. And that is once the TSWs are removed, we go to pattern 9, irregardless of if we're spilling 40% or 50%.
Yeah. Regardless of whether you're in the spring or summer spill season.
If TSWs are out, so now you got to go to the pattern.
That's
the old FPP pattern pre-2006. And it's the pattern that gives you the 97% spillway survival.
Right. If not better.
Right. If not better, yes.
Go to summer pattern.
Don't call it a summer pattern, just call it TSW. Non-TSW pattern. What's it identified in the FPG as? There's the TSW. You got TSWs in, why are you taking them out? Nine, I think it's W. Nine.
Yeah.
Careful. All right. Have we resolved this
as soon as TSW?
Yes.
I thought so.
Yes.
All right.
We start
technical.
As both TSWs both are.
I don't think we're getting out here early.
So we'll revise the form and it'll be out there for FPP. But basically, what we're going to do is
Bernard Klatt seniors
what we thought we were doing
down.
This year. We operate with Mary Table 7 during the spring. When we're in the process of removing TSWs, we operate table 10. And as soon as the TSWs are removed, we operate table 9.
Okay. That sounds right.
Just make sure that the FOP has the right table title. Tammy, and when it gets circulated to you, I will double check for court. Can we move on? Yeah. All right. I am now going to officially move us on. All right.
Doug's
in the FOP discussion.
So the end of that was...
We'll get that fixed in next year's
FOP. The end of that is to get...
The FOP will correctly cite table titles in the FPP.
I mean, honestly, we're supposed to have a discussion sometime about how to change the FOP here.
So the problem was the FOP takes precedence over the fish pass.
Okay, so you will have...
No, it doesn't. It does not.
Portland District, it doesn't.
It's a court... order document that we follow, and when we violate, we report to the court.
It's
the fish passage plan has got.
Appendix E is the court order.
It's the court order, but I mean, it's not always right, obviously.
Well, and remember that between last year and this year, it was largely a rollover. I mean, a very strict rollover. Whereas other years,
really?
Some little fines.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there because there's a lot of animosity there.
Don't even say rollover. Don't use that word. That's a bad word.
Rollover.
We
all
agree we can change
it.
Roll over and die. You love it. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Roll over and shoot it would be better, but.
So next is 2.1.4. Is Nathan? Are you on the line?
So Doug's fix-up op service will take care of that one.
Yeah. I haven't heard David. Are you on the line?
He said he was going to come in, but he is not here.
I'm not sure that. I know I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
You are on the line.
Third grade or fifth grade?
Did you get your, any forms returned to you after the last meeting? This is our last action item for Walla Walla. Is that some people?
No.
We're going to give you some further feedback on your avian predation reporting forms.
Anybody?
I sent over to Blaine and have not heard from Blaine, so I did not send anything.
I didn't even look at it.
Okay, so that must not have been Nathan that said, hey, Ann.
That was Scott.
So. Oh, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on the last discussion.
Oh, no.
No!
No, we've already
done. Technically,
we're going to hit the mute button.
I know. Go ahead, Scott. Since you're on vacation, we'll listen.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that whenever the change occurs, that's the still pattern we're using, but we're not going to decide today that we're changing when the TSWs come on service.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not touching that one. And interestingly enough, we had an FPP change form last year that pretty much everyone agreed to, but then as we got into wordsmithing the FOP, somehow there was some inconsistency there.
Right. Just wanted to be clear
down
the record that's
where I'm at. So 2.1.4, we'll just continue to get your comments in.
Okay,
can we move on?
Please.
So if you have any comments on Nathan's reporting forms,
we're bound to get in.
Please.
Is he still looking for comments? He said June 21, so I gave up on it.
Okay.
Well, you know
I was hoping
are,
he said he was going to be here. I don't know what happened.
He got lost at the little.
Either
he's downstairs. If he needs them, I will have him email the FPON distribution list for them. However, we are collecting data and using the tablet at most dams.
And we gave him some information on what makes sense, so.
Hey, I get a gold star. I did sending my rankings of his.
All right. Brown noser.
Right.
You get an extra treat, Ross. Here, have an extra treat.
It's one of the two fruit bars today.
Yeah. We'll suck up.
Okay, so let's go to Portland's action items. The first one is 221, which is a powerhouse 2-unit operating range. Tammy was going to talk to HDC to get the midpoint 1%.
And I did. I talked to Jim Keel, and so we will have those tables by November for the FPP.
Cool. Were they also doing something about Powerhouse 1, open geometry and all the meat of that is?
Yeah.
All those, the open geometry tables, the 50% tables.
Cool. I can leave. You guys done?
We're done with your subject.
Did you say November?
Yeah, we'll have it for the FPP review.
Actually, you're...
Go ahead.
You just talked about your items.
Anything I can add?
Russ sent you comments. The rest of us
did not.
Did not, as you may have guessed. What do you need from us? Is there anything more you need from us? Did we give you enough direction last meeting? Or
I
you
got three back. One from Walla Walla, one from Dallas, and one from Washington State. But that's fine.
Are you still open for comments?
If you'd like to, that's fine. Actually, at this point, we've already moved forward.
Yeah.
So they're basically making almost every graph. I think there's maybe two they drop.
Them all.
And so, yeah, we can drop
them. So it's the all the above.
It's a work in process. So,
it's D, all the above.
So look at the graphs, and then if we have issues, bring them back to Nathan.
I mean, there's nothing wrong. It's more of like if there's a big issue about doing all of them, come and let us know, and then we can say, okay, X, these. That work for you? Let's move. That's why you have me these meetings.
2.2.2 is the Bonneville Unit Operating Range Task Group. Gary, you're working on a white paper, and I'm sure you're not completed with that by now.
No. It'll be probably several months in progress, but I do have a draft that I've, if anybody on
it's,
the...
No, wait, which powerhouse is that for? Is it for both?
It's for both. This is really...
It just says Bonneville. It doesn't say
unit. Yes, Bonneville.
Well, it wraps in powerhouse.
Both powerhouses.
Yeah, it's kind of big picture here.
It's got a wrap in powerhouse one.
Yeah, this is Powerhouse 1, Powerhouse 2. It's looking at the whole setup of operation. They're tied together, so at least Scott would say they are. So,
but Scott isn't here.
What I've laid out is like all the options. This is more for the task group, I guess, but laid out all the topics I think we need to discuss and put together some information on each of those topics and then it'll be out for people to decide.
Jenny.
Gary, you have another one of those?
Thanks.
No. Why would you care about what happens at Bonneville? You don't care. I'm just curious.
Do you have an extra one?
Just curious.
So once we get, what my plan was is Doug sent a small
chair.
Yes, I'm the damn chair.
Chair lores will now speak
this
about the task group. Yeah.
Just a brain dump at this point. Just sitting there thinking, well, what can I think about for what topics can we talk about for each of these main topics? So don't consider this anything at this point.
It's a start.
I don't even want to look at it.
Just a brain dump without even any expectations.
Brain fart. Yeah,
probably wrong, too.
It seemed like where you
not much of a brain dump.
Like which studies you get from.
Yeah, I'm putting it in there as I go. Some of us just
got maybe three.
Personal.
Trying to get some humor going.
Yeah. So the plan is once we get kind of a more finalized version of that, Doug sent over a small tome, which I'm going to recycle.
It's all there for your joy.
Yeah, a small tome. Dude, really? All I got to say is really, you need to get another job or something like that.
It's 2 months of joy.
Really?
2 months of joy.
Yeah,
2 months of joy.
Can you look at the one on Adobe?
How do you skinny 2 months of joy down? We all shared in the
bullets.
The laugh.
My friend.
We laughed, we cried. It's all right here.
Bullets.
Everyone
what
enjoy.
Is that? What
are we talking about? It'll be coming
soon. This is coming soon. It was so big it got dropped off the F-bomb
it's
agenda.
It's available on
you
the
wanted
website.
The summary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Summary.
Okay, well,
okay, right on that.
We're also going to summarize the condition data that we've got for the project. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I think we'll put together for this.
Yeah.
So the plan was we'll get kind of more of a clean version of Gary's stuff. Yeah. I'm going to task the FPC because they don't have near enough to do to go through the condition data. And then we'll have your stuff.
Trevor's doing that as well.
Right. Good.
Now,
well, then
so
maybe.
And we have some of that, the summary of the mortality and descaling in there, too.
Yeah, I'm figuring, though, someone, I don't think you guys probably went through and did a detailed analysis.
No,
I'm
just what you
exactly.
Saw, the stuff you
that's
saw.
What I was going to say. So, Trevor, FPC, do detailed analysis of that, pull in Gary's stuff, pull in your tome, and then once we have all that, because how I look at this is we don't need to have this done until next season. It has to be ready for the next FPP, and I don't even want to talk about the FOP. And so I'm figuring around maybe September, probably like the October, November time frame. We'll do like a task meeting to get ready for the November, December meeting.
Yeah, what I'd like FPP. For the folks on the team, just to look at my topics and add.
Yep.
Let's schedule it. October meeting for these guys.
You want to schedule for after the October?
Yeah, because if you get to November,
when is it? If it's the 16th, no.
Is that going to work October? Anybody have vacations in October?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But one thing we're going to be doing is doing the Bonneville Second Powerhouse analysis. That will fit into this because it will help us in how we would want to run those units. It will tell us something about risk of running them at the low end of 1% or the mid-range of 1%. So that's
the beat analysis.
So we don't know. The beat analysis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's beats, but it's better than nothing. So... it's a lot better than nothing. So that's something that is coming up in September.
Is bead all inclusive of dye and air? And
yes.
Okay.
It's a flow model.
And velocity vectors as well. Okay. So we're looking at
the 11th.
That trip is when?
How much flow is. It hasn't been set yet. It's a TSP thing. So George Medina would be the person to talk to as far as the person in charge, or Lori Ebner. So
on that trip, is this task group attending that?
I've never even
had it. Possible.
Right.
I mean, it's TSP. It's a regional thing.
Yeah. It's a TSP meeting. The problem is you have to be part of the TSP.
It's for this fall. That's all I can tell you is we don't have it.
Should I ask Medina?
Yeah. Probably be in
actually
September.
Talk to Lori
and then schedule a task group after that trip. Mm-hmm.
That would be at least we'd have more
before
of the day in
hand. December 1st.
Yeah. So we're tentatively talking maybe the October FPOM meeting, post FPOM meeting, have a task group get together. Hopefully, we'll have all the data at that time.
Would be good to have one before that.
Like okay.
As soon as possible, just to get people kind of thinking about what they're doing.
How
like
about we do?
We're kind of running like scattered. Bunch of
G-Water Shock
right now.
How about
G-Water
Shock? Yeah,
September. We're waiting for a fearless leader.
Yeah, you're gonna wait a long time then, because fearless is not
fearless,
my term.
Yeah, we'll say fearless.
Yeah, I fear a lot. I'm fearful. Let's say fearful. September.
September is the fish counting.
We already
task group after FPOM, but you can
say
pick a different
meeting sometime in July, like next week. even a conference
call. Will all the documents be ready?
Don't need to. I mean, I want to make sure that people are working on the pieces. Okay. I don't. Some of this stuff I'm not going to do. So.
If we could do it, maybe, how about Wednesday? Next Wednesday at GMT.
Yeah, let's do that.
Conference call. Do you want to use our palm line?
Sure, that'd be great.
Yep,
that'd be
great.
Should email out and we'll do that.
And just to be campfire, we could get together after if you want to do it in person or not. We could do conference call, whatever.
If I'm around and not hitting up to Squim, that's what I'll show up in person. Okay. Or we could also do it.
I could get a room here if you want.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, why don't we do that? We'll either get you get a room or I get a room. We'll figure
it out. Okay, we'll get it together. But I'd like to just get people thinking about stuff like I've been doing, and then.
Cool beans.
Okay.
Wow. EPA is staffing up. They have three representatives at one meeting. Well done. This is how important that problem has become.
The staple broke at the end.
Right,
but then it goes on to do all the water quality stuff as well. All
right, so we have
a conference call next Wednesday. Conference call slash meeting next Wednesday.
Right.
We'll have hopefully as much data as we can. We'll have Gary's draft. We have Doug's tome, and I don't know if we'll have anything more condition wise.
Yeah, we have some, actually, Trevor's been working on tables, and I think he'll have something by then to look at, too. So.
Good.
So, Dave, check that back, and if they want to talk to Trevor or you guys want to start taking a look at stuff, we'll have a conference call meeting slash next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
More of just kind of like take a look at what we have and what we're missing and what we can talk about.
That's it. All right, so Wednesday, 2.2.3 is a repeat, so we can cross that out. And we can move to updates. I'm not trying.
Dude, you're really cutting somehow the agenda. I like it.
I am. Updates. So this is repeat stuff. Okay, let's get all in the same page. Updates. We're going to do transport update for Walla Walla 3.11.
I heard there was a conference call yesterday. Are we going to hear about what happened at that conference call?
Why don't we let John? John usually just gives a real quick update on transport, where we're at this season, and then we can follow that up with a comment on some of the other discussion that's been going on in the region. You want to just give them a quick update, John, on what numbers we have and where we're at Granite?
We're talking about this game.
Why did we start the page?
Because we'll talk about it later.
Okay, well, maybe while he's looking for it, then I guess my understanding is I wasn't on the TMT call, but I was on a call late yesterday afternoon with folks from planning for the Corps that I guess were on TMT, and we did have a brief discussion at that point in time with Gary and Paul Wagner. And
what about the rest of them?
I think that's why I got kicked back out here.
No.
Because it seemed like at that point the Corps is the only party that's not in line with what everyone else is agreeing to, based on kind of previous comments that we've made in some of these forums. So I think the only resolve that we had was that we supported late season trucking, and if NOAA and or the rest of the fisheries managers could put together some data that suggested that scientifically there was the basis to not transport, and that NOAA also had allegiance not just at the technical level but also higher up, so that if this was necessarily going to get elevated within the Corps to be resolved, and so they were going to request that it went beyond the technical level at NIMS for agreement. And so, based on that call, then we are under the impression that NIMS will put together a letter and/or with an appendix that shows some data that the Science Center had done that demonstrates that survival has been increasing, and that they feel as an agency well-founded in not going to barge transport this year, but they did still support truck transport after August 17th.
So, two things. One, getting something from that from NOAA, good luck. Two, so August 17th is when you would start truck transport?
Yeah, when we normally start truck transport.
Did you guys at least talk about temperature and or shad triggers?
We did.
We've had those previously.
Yeah, I talked to Tom before the meeting just to get his position, his ideas, and then I brought those to the meeting, Tom, And we talked about chat. So that's sort of the, I think what we agreed to was that would be an in-season discussion.
Okay.
Yep. That there could be adjustments made in season based on, you know.
So bring it to, watch the data, bring to TMT anything else, because Derek actually had a suggestion to start truck transport earlier, which I didn't really agree with. And so what I said is.
Why? You have 400 in the river.
I don't know. Anyway, what I said is, you know, we're going to be monitoring. WDFW has a temperature program each year. John gets daily monitoring. We're not expecting with the flows this year to have a temperature problem, but usually a temperature problem for us is when the wind stops blowing, and we have had a lot of hot weather over there. Yep. So, you know, everyone, I know you're doing this anyway, but, you know, people are watching. If we see something that makes us think we should be doing something else, then it needs to come through TMT that week and have some discussions and decide if we need to change. We're pretty flexible. One of the other things that was talked about is should we be not going to every other day when we went after August 17th transport, but maybe there were some other options that people would want to consider as well. So I think that sort of stuff is kicked out.
Don't want to hold them on.
Right. Well, you don't hold them. I'm just like going, why in God's name do you want to transport that many Hanford Reach fish?
No. Okay, there's three issues here that need to be resolved. One is that we, NOAA, are going to put together rationale that we'll look at. What the benefits are of transport, number one, especially early season, mid-season. The data that we have, which includes 2012 survival data from pintail fish that passed from McNary on downstream. So we have data going back to 2006, I believe, survival data, all calculated exactly the same way. We're looking at that. It does show that 11 and 12 about the same survival rates, and 7, 8, 9% higher than previous years. So, you know, but it does say that 11 was the old outfall, 12 is new one, but 11 had very high river flows. The expected survival is probably pretty good.
We're having this year.
So, you know, and what we've heard from the Corps, just to digress a bit, was that as long as it's equal to what we had in the past, you know, they weren't too concerned, not just from rock, but. I don't know what you guys and Laura Waller are saying about that, but you know that data does at least show that. So that combined with the fact that returns from those barge transport dates were not that good in the first place, and we spent millions improving the river below since 2002 when those data were collected. And every dam, including the outfall in the area. So it's kind of hard to believe that we would, you know, somehow not be worse. I don't think the Corps wants to send that message out either. So you know, we need that piece of information. We'll put all that stuff together. The other piece of this is for you guys in FPAC. I don't know what the Colvilles have said about this. I don't know what Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife has said. So
Washington,
I want to make sure we have. You know,
yeah,
we do have. The way I see it right now is that the region is telling the Corps of Engineers that like to not do barge transport at McNary Dam in the summer. That's what the region is saying, at least for this year. Is that really what the region is saying?
Colville was on the call yesterday, but they didn't make a final decision because it wasn't their regular members.
And they weren't on FPAC either. And
who do you talk to? I mean, is it Chuck or is it on
the Colville?
Sherry Sears,
but it was Keith Wolf that was on the other day.
Yes.
Okay, I guess I don't know.
So,
you know, changing faces.
Yeah.
Did they make any commitment to getting back to FPAC next Tuesday with some type
Sherry
of...
Sherry dropped off before we even talked on this at FPAC. By the time we got to FPAC, she was already off the line.
Okay.
And then Washington, I believe, said they were tentatively okay with it. They needed to talk internally, but they didn't see any...
Is it Charlie or Charlie?
Okay. So we need to get kind of a...
Oregon was in favor.
Yeah, it sounds like everybody else is.
We're in favor.
And Cryptic, Tribes. So it's just getting that check off.
So it's about 2 degrees colder than average because of the snowpack this year. We have a definition for dry year strategy years, which are like the 20th percentile. We haven't had one recently where max transport comes up as a potential. I don't think we've ever confirmed the actual dry-year strategy. It's always kind of ongoing. But does NOAA propose like a model with river variables that would have like a mechanism related to temperature or any other factor for shifting the date of
about really correlations.
Late, you know, mid-late season.
For summer?
Yeah.
Transport from the canary?
I mean, you just said like shifting away from the
mortality. Our recommendation is to stop transport from a canary all the way across
my correlation of why there's more.
That's a middle of explanation. We're not going there right now. We're just my biggest concern right now is that we have barges going above the outfall, new outfall, which spans half the river. And we have to shut off spill or modify spill to what table 8, 9, 8 I guess it is. And then we have this barge up there that could or could not. And do you know if they put new anchors on those?
As far as I could tell, no. I sent an email to Jack. He did not reply. Suggested that they hadn't. And John, from what he knew, said no.
Yeah, when we were designing outfall, we knew that was a problem, and the fix was to get big anchors on those towboats so that if they did lose power, they could throw an anchor out, hopefully stop before they slammed into the outfall. Well, I don't know if they have or not, and I'm not even sure that would work.
They put bumpers
under
the
river flows. So, you know, it seems a little silly. What's that?
They put bumpers on the outfall.
Bumpers on the outfall.
That's going to protect.
Yeah, that's going to work.
I would say it's very unlikely, extremely unlikely, because they have 2 engines on each boat.
Yes, but you have a $14 million outfall
structure.
They're
going to run to the ground before they do something like
that. There's so many extremely unlikely things that
never happen.
Happen.
They're going to try.
You guys make
high flows.
They'll have no control.
Why should say that?
Well, I think what John's just reiterating is that for us, it isn't anything that made us change our opinion, which is why we had the call yesterday, is that even though we had that discussion last Thursday, Gary, you brought that up to me, that in-house that really hadn't changed much of kind of where things were at. So there was a need still for some more information to be filtered up for us through higher through the chain.
Well, the other thing,
we have contracting clauses that if somebody hits that pipe, they're going to have to replace it.
I don't want to go down that road.
Well,
and then it's out for how long?
We don't want to go down that road either. And as John stated, we think it's pretty unlikely. We're a pretty... Walla Walla in particular is a pretty risk-averse group when it comes to...
Really?
So,
I haven't heard much from my concerns about what happened in the canary lately, but anyway.
I'm not going to say that they always, nobody always makes the right decision and things like that. Basically, I think you guys might have, maybe not you directly, but SCT might have made the decision last year to hold back on this because it was part of the original PDT recommendation of the build for this outfall. It was included. That's why you're aware of
What's
it,
that?
Is that when I was on the PDT for the McNary outfall, we had, that was part of the safety stuff, was that they were going to put that in as a fail-safe.
That's right.
And at some point in time, I think it was with the hurry up and build, some items that were part of that package were taken out, and it was to save costs, I believe, and maybe timing.
It
was to save costs. People are going, why should we put an anchor system in if we're not going to barge there? I think that was most people rushing out. And the other benefit was is if you don't barge there, you can actually put an actual avian wire system in there to help protect the river system.
Right.
So with those two things lining up, it's like, unless we see some absolute huge benefits from barging, which we haven't seen yet, unless we see something dramatically change, we see very little reason in. So the brass tacks, let's get down to brass tacks, because some of us need to leave here sometime soon. So you're not going to barge this year. You want to start trucking around August 17th. If things change, you get temperature, something changes along those lines, we talk about possibly trucking maybe earlier.
Yep. More
frequently.
Every day.
Let's talk about this. I think there's a Fitter Week meeting coming up, is there not?
Yep.
Hence, there might be a delightful time to talk about these things. End of the month, that's before August 17th. Hence, we'll talk about these things.
Well, or else FPOM, because I don't think I'm going to be here when you have your next Fitter Week. But, certainly you can have that discussion and bring it back to FPOM.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of interest from entities at the Walla Walla District that are interested in this. So that's a good time that they're usually there. Might be a delightful time. Maybe Noel will have some data. They could talk about it.
We'll have our
work something out. Yes, exactly.
And then you can bring it back to
the then we can also talk about SHAD.
We will actually do it.
I figured you might. Now, whether it means anything or not is another issue. No, there's any statistical meaning to it.
The bottom line also, Tom, is that the Corps is not going to do it until they receive this letter and or data report from NIMS saying that NIMS is on record making this recommendation. So that has to be received before.
We're even going to do it.
Well, it's nothing's a given. It's just still a recommendation.
It's absolutely not going to happen if you don't get a letter in.
But it definitely won't happen if you don't receive something in writing. And think about, you know, the timing here is that the FOP obviously is telling us between the 15th and the 30th we need to initiate. Right now we hear the group and everybody's saying we don't want you to initiate. But the Corps is kind of on the page that until we get documentation from the lead group for recovery here that their agency is on board with us deviating from the FOP, we are directed to, you know, we are, as a Corps, the agency plans to go ahead.
We'll
so you need to realize
the record,
this is a time frame issue.
Deviating from the FOP.
This is a time frame issue that we receive something in writing from this.
We're not even making comments.
We're writing this letter.
Yeah.
F4 minutes count.
Okay, hey, so Russ,
it'll get done.
Could we maybe do a system operation request and see if we can get all the SAM managers to sign on with the
would that do it?
With the SORs?
Do you want this thing signed in blood?
The quarter that we got with that together?
I don't think it needs that level of it. Russ, this is Doug. I don't think it needs that level of attention. I mean, my understanding.
A letter from NOAA telling to stop action versus an SOR.
Well,
that's
no,
about the same,
no.
Honestly.
I'm just saying.
A letter from NOAA.
You're never going to get a letter from NOAA. So take the SOR and be happy with it.
I'm just saying the standard in the FOP is a NOAA recommendation from what is it? Supplemental.
Well, SOR is a
in coordination with NOAA Fisheries
request recommendation.
Yeah.
It just.
Why would it? I think the SOR is a recommendation.
I think it's your cleanest, quickest route because getting a letter from NOAA,
we'll be on
good luck.
We'll be on the SOR. Mm-hmm.
And an SOR, NOAA's on the SOR.
It'll be signed
that's
by
the recommendation.
NOAA.
Okay, so again, the SOR, if you're going to go that route, has to do the same thing. It has to provide the scientific data, and it has to show us that at high levels of all agencies, above the technical level, there is agreement.
Well, I guarantee you that.
This is so phenomenal, awesome.
You know, Paul Wagner doesn't sign an SOR without checking his higher-ups.
He barely goes to the bathroom without checking in with his higher-ups, so I think he'll be fine.
So are you asking for a Will Stealth signature?
Well, sometimes you've got several times.
Doug needs to weigh in because he's our rep from division, but the original call here was that it had to be signed by somebody not at the technical level but at a higher policy level.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. We were just trying to think
what level?
So the original call was
Susan Moto.
Richie?
Do you want Susan Moto? Who do you want?
Susan started going above that. We get down the lawyers.
Yeah, he said he was talking about way up the food chain. But since then, I feel like the expectation has just been data and rationale to support something different.
Well, what kind of precedent is the set that we have to have a Will Still letter for changes?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess the comment I was trying to articulate prior to the SOR comment was just having something in writing. I mean, we need something in writing from NOAA to make a change. So if regional folks are advocating for it in the form of an SOR, I frankly don't care.
That helps, I would think, because then you'd have everybody's...
That's fine, but I was wrongly assuming the contrary. I thought folks thought it would be easier just to get something out, for example.
No, SOR and this kind of thing would be pretty damn easy. If you got everyone on board, SORs are stupid easy to write and pretty quick.
Well, this answers the
But just as long as it has the... I mean, the whole impetus was essentially to have NOAA documentation and data support an operation that's out of context of the BIOP. And so, accordingly, the Corps of Engineers would like to have some rationale to do that, to make that change.
Well, I think the only caveat there is an SOR doesn't always have everybody agreeing.
Right.
And what we were saying, or what our agency, what we were hearing from higher levels was, absolutely, we had to have NOAA Fisheries at high levels on board before the Corps was even going to consider making a change.
You get NOAA on that.
I mean, just be honest, that's what we were told. Kind of real marching orders there.
It was pretty adamant.
Well, if NOAA signs onto the SOR, then NOAA signs onto the SOR.
Well, last time I checked.
But they want a letter.
No,
who makes the call? Is Wallowa District making the call? Is District making the call? Let's find out who's making the call so we can find out what level.
The call is not being made at the district level.
So then, Doug, what do you need? Do you need an SOR? Do you need a letter from Will Stell? What do we need here? I do not need to talk about this for another half hour.
Okay.
If you guys don't know, go back and figure it out.
Right.
Tell us what you want.
Okay.
We will get it to you as best we can.
Well, we told you what the marching orders we got last Thursday were.
Marching orders from
who?
So, marching orders from who?
From From Rock Peters.
Okay, so does Rocknell want something high up? If you can find out from us,
my understanding is at the time it was a conversation with Richie that there would be a high-level NOAA.
Has that changed?
What does that mean?
Let's find out what that means. Let's keep arguing about this.
We can stop arguing. Awesome. What happened is Ann and I will coordinate. I'll get information as soon as I can. I'll coordinate with Ann on what the level of information is.
Let's get that figured out because well, that's how it works.
But what I'm hearing is you folks want to complete an SOR and call it good.
I'm just saying if an SOR will work, we think an SOR is probably the most expedient because a letter from NOAA higher up can be.
You'll get NOAA's occurrence of an SOR, plus you'll get the others, which is what you're after.
That's correct. But you'll also be providing the data in addition to that.
Absolutely. That'd be an SOR.
And if the core does, then fine.
Okay.
And then
so
I'm going to remind them all the time.
Your task is to go back and make sure you get what you need.
Yeah.
And then we'll just get it.
Okay.
The region. Let's either SOR or a letter or whatever it is.
Because otherwise, then this goes to dispute resolution. I mean, then when we kick it up and we go to.
Yeah, no, I, this.
All of that.
No, you don't want to go to.
This is just information and what does the letterhead look like?
Yeah, that's all
we're
saying. If you guys can get a letter from Richie and you can get that out in time, do that.
Okay.
Right. If you think an SOR is going to be better, we'll do an SOR. I don't care.
What I don't want to have is Richie sent a letter and you say, well, this wasn't high enough.
That's
who's
fine,
going
right?
to start the SOR?
That's easy. We can do that with FPC.
Get it going.
Dave!
Get it going. Right?
Bolt number two for you.
Let's make sure that Paul's involved in that.
Oh, yeah. He will be. Yeah. I'm just saying, I just want to know.
You can do
it. I do too. I'm with you.
You let us know. We will get her going.
Call right now with the letterhead.
Once we go find out, we'll get that resolved.
Still probably want to do the letter.
Okay. All right. Doug is now going to get a hold of Rock and find out exactly what he needs.
And we will do our best to get
it. Just to throw this out there, Nez Perce were on board. They were at the FPAC discussion.
And they were also TNT.
Yeah.
They're also TNT.
So Washington's outstanding.
And Caldwell.
Washington was basically supportive. He just wanted to check higher up.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like it's an issue unless there's something else we don't
know. Well,
that's,
you know, then it comes down to dispute issues. Right. You know, that's dispute resolution process.
I mean, if it's going to be cleaner to have a letter from just Richie, do that. But
let Doug make his phone call. He'll come back and we'll settle it.
Next item, that was just too much fun.
And we'll do Portland updates.
All right, so the mid-season ROV inspections are for Bonneville are 6th through 8 August. For the Dalles, they're 1 August, and I haven't received the dates for John Day yet, but they'll be in early August as well.
You guys, didn't you skip something when you jumped to transport?
Nope.
Do you want to talk about
boring?
No.
Action items completed are to be discussed later in the agenda.
Right, so they're completed.
Okay.
Why? What are we missing?
Well, Chris Penny, we had him on the call, and he was 2.33, and I just didn't know if that one had been closed. The bar boring, that was stuff.
Well, he did what he was requested to do, so rather than have an hour-long discussion again.
Let's let Chris go then.
I really see and the F-bomb is like, you guys are doing the work in the in-water work period. If BPA has a better idea and wants to talk to you guys about it, awesome. The rest of us, mosey on.
The draft John Day winter maintenance schedule is available on the website, so they were the first project to get that out. If you want to look at it, if you have any concerns, as I get them from the other projects,
is there anything big, hairy, that nothing like a gantry crane going out or something like that that I need to be thinking about?
No.
Moving
nothing
on.
You have to worry about.
Yeah.
At this time.
Oh, God, I need to go back and
everything's within the fish passage plan.
Everything's in the fish passage window?
Passage. Or outside
fish
workers
window, I should say.
Yes, I believe so.
You haven't read either.
Check. I skimmed through it.
I have time to look on.
I usually don't look at those till September.
Right, it's kind of early for.
It is early. They're a little ahead of the game there. We should be happy that John Day is getting information out early.
We're at 3.2.3. The Dalles spilled the 9 trunnion pin. Bob Cordy is. I don't think he's on. Anybody from the Dalles on the FPOM call?
I'm just going to call in because it's a company picnic.
It's their company picnic today, so.
Oh, of course it is.
All right, so we don't have an update on
spending all the money on the trunnion pin.
Yeah,
on the picnic.
But anyway, that still is my high priority, so I'll be chasing that down with the project. They're very well aware that this is a high priority. And
is there any hope for next season?
I'm hoping they can do it. This at the end of the year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Keep it as an update until it's done.
Yeah.
Until we forget.
Yeah, we're not going to drop this one at all.
So we're not even off of the start plate then.
What?
Have they even...
We can hear you guys. What do you need?
Yeah, what's going on the phone? Mute your phone, please.
So we have a 3-week overlap of two ladder outage with John Day.
Scott, are you asking for Bird?
Oh, there's Bob.
There's Bob.
Talk louder.
Bob, what do you got for us? Turn your pin.
Are we on the Dallas Bill Bay 9?
Yes.
Yeah, we have nothing new from last time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No updates.
So briefly, for those of us that can't remember, give a brief status of where we haven't changed from.
The trunnion pin is not, is bent.
Yeah, where we're at right now is that one's pegged out. Of all the pegged out bays that we have, that is the one in the worst shape, so that would be the absolute last one that we would ever operate. And right now it's just a matter of funding. We have no joint funding to address it.
Well, that's the bottom line I was trying to get to then. No funding available, so it's not going anywhere.
Not right now. Right.
Okay, thank you.
But it's a high priority.
If you get funding for the spillway, the project would be taking care of the crane or something.
Alright. Any other questions on trending pins? Spill Bay 15 hoist at Bonneville.
Come on.
Got anything?
It's on site.
It's on site?
It's on site.
Yeah, no, they really? Sent it back because it wasn't right. They got it back. It's fixed. It's proper. They have wire rope ordered. They don't want to put the hoist on until the wire rope is on new rope, since that was shot.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they're not planning on doing it until the end of spill.
They'll do
prep work, get the hoist up there and do whatever they want to do. Okay. They'll swap out.
As the spill drops, it'll come back into line with the 2.9-foot gate opening anyways.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Okay, might as well move to the fish unit dredging tube.
That's good to hear.
Fish unit dredging.
I don't really have a whole lot. I mean, we're waiting to hear back from Harley and the JOC on whether or not we're going to get a chunk of money to do that dredging from them. Large cap money, I guess. Project will come up with the money to do plans and specs and resurvey so we know what we're doing. But we all want to do that really until we know if we're going to get that other money. Otherwise, it's kind of a waste because then we resurvey again for next year. So that's, we're just waiting to hear back from them. I'm not very familiar with that process. So the initial review, and now we're just waiting to hear back from them to see if we're going to get them done.
Any idea when that'll?
No, I don't. I mean, what I've been told as early as, or as late as Tuesday was, they don't necessarily have to meet. They can do this via phone conference to okay it, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Do you have any schedule idea? You'll know in 2 weeks, a month?
I think they meet monthly.
They meet monthly,
so
but
it's been a couple of weeks, so I would think soon.
We'll get a hold of the large cap PM and find out where they're at.
Get a response out to us in minutes, maybe when they come out or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe the action items will highlight in that.
And then you are working on some sort of new plan and specs for a potentially new picket lead, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so the fish unit trash rake upgrade.
I'm going to retire sometime. You're going to make it so.
So, yeah.
Go slow.
Since December, you know, the PDT's reconvened, and we're going to be assigned a new PM, and our new PM met with us, which was good, and his name is Eric Strickland. He's from New Orleans, I believe. And so we are...
You're making me feel much better.
No, it's a good thing.
Okay.
It's a good thing. So we need to update our scope, schedule, and budget because what we were going to do was build off the 2001 DDR when they had the only thing really in existence at that time that could go to that depth to rake those units.
Yeah.
And now we have lamprey criteria we need to deal with. So we need a hydraulic analysis on the fish units, debris loading, and in the collection channel. And we're going to have to tailor what we do there to that. And so that's something that needs to be analyzed, is the hydraulics.
So you're leading us right into researcher updates here.
We're basically waiting to have another PDT meeting. We've got the project involved in pushing for what will work at Bonneville Dam. So at our next PDT meeting, hopefully I'll get some more information on where we're at with our scope, schedule, and budget and outlook.
Is there a plan to have more of a regional input sometime in the future?
Yes, we basically need to come up with alternatives and our specs for reveal.
So then you'll be bringing this to Fitterway?
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome, Paul. Yeah.
All right, so let's go to research updates for Bonneville trapping and tagging with Nathan. What do you got?
Trapping and tagging has been taking place at Bonneville a few months now, anyway. Really what I wanted to talk about was the overall count and then a little bit about the tagging side of things. So University of Idaho and NOAA capture and tag lamprey at Bonneville to do studies on traveling through the LPS system, the valley LPS system. There's also Idaho's doing the kind of fake study, so after the fish pass Bonneville, where do they end up? So those fish are JSAT tagged, some fish are pit tagged only, and some fish are double tagged.
You said fate?
Fate. Final fate.
I swear I thought I heard fake.
No. Fake lamprey, yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
And so it's a new ploy to avoid listing.
Lamprey and dredge.
Fake lamprey. They don't go very far, but they look good.
As Vesterman knows, the night counting at Bonneville and some of the other projects is really important to the lamprey working group. And what we're seeing as the numbers come back, roughly half the fish are passing at night. So our total passage at Bonneville, including night counts, LPS counts, and the window counts, the daytime window counts, is 35,660 fish.
Wow.
So this is a fair year. Fair change. This year's been pretty rough.
How about the Dalles?
Oh, not so good.
Yeah, I know. We're all kind of curious about what's going on there.
Right. So that's the big numbers. Tag date from Idaho and NOAA, 470 of those fish. 160 fish were transferred to tribes for translocation and broodstock.
Yeah.
That's Umatilla and Yakima tribes. There's been...
Steve Jackie
has joined the conference.
Hi, Steve. This is Nathan. I'm just giving a lamprey update from Bonneville. There's been four mortalities this season so far, and what else? Good. Of the total run pass, they've tagged about 1.6%.
So you only have four mortalities? It just, they all seem to come at one time.
Yeah, they've been recent.
So yeah, I got an email from a couple of people saying, what's up with the lamprey mortalities?
Three on one day and one on the next day.
Yeah,
a lot of this year.
It was only four, but it's just like they all have a two-day time frame.
Yeah, so that's roughly...
It's a very small number, thank God.
Not a lot of the run.
No, I just was curious. I mean, people are very sensitive right now with lamprey after last year's low count, so... was anything noted about that would maybe be causing this, or is it just like quinky-dinky?
More lamprey.
No, yeah, and some of the morts they found were in the rest boxes. Those had been pretty decayed, so they check them every day, but they could die in the system. It might take a while to walk back down to the rest box.
So it's people are going, well, did lamprey and LPS, why is that? And I'm going, I will ask them.
Right. And I guess my question was, I don't know what that compares to previous years, since I've been doing this long enough.
I think that's the first time that had one.
Accidents that happened in the past when water, dewatered or whatever.
Right, but not having them pop in there.
Yeah. But I would assume in any migration there's going to be a certain portion of the fish that aren't going to make it.
Yeah, you just have more fish now than you had.
Did you see drop?
Well, they've come some really big pulses, too. So, for example, some of the traps they've recovered have been fuller than they've ever been before, you know, things like that. So they're talking about reducing the time they fish traps.
So,
what effect did the morts in the LPS have on LPS passage?
Yeah, they shut it down for
it did?
Yeah.
I think a dead lamprey smell.
The dead lamprey smell.
For how long?
I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance to really look at the numbers in detail. And it's really... So the last mort was discovered on the... I think it was the 6th of July. And so I can look into that further.
Just curious.
Are these all tagged fish that are morts?
No.
Any other questions on lamprey?
Nope. Dave does.
So Nathan, I took a look at your new spreadsheet. I think it's a great step forward.
That was the other thing I wanted to mention. Yeah, there's a brand new format for that weekly report, and I sent it to Tammy, so rather than spam the people with the chat.
And it may not be of interest to people here, but I do have some questions, so I'll contact you unless...
Do that.
So Tammy, if you can, forward me that spreadsheet so I can work our library crowd.
Okay, AFF mods, you got anything?
I'm nearly complete with the scope.
I just got it.
Getting ready to submit that.
It'll be amazing.
So that's my update. That's your update. Scope to give the mic to get a PDT form.
Okay.
So
we have a discussion with people together.
Yes.
And is there a chance that we'll be able to get done this winter?
I'm hopeful. I mean, they're pretty.
If it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, we need to.
I don't know yet.
Yeah. I'm saying it has implications to.
It really probably depends on how much engineering goes into it and what type of mods we come up with.
Yeah. No. It's more of
a timing.
It's more of if it doesn't get done, that has implications to the adult.
It does. Picture.
So. Yeah. Really important.
See what we can do.
I don't mind getting put on.
Well, that's true. I mean, if it doesn't,
we can always wait.
We don't do the study.
There were some modifications made by CritFic at the AFF. Mm-hmm. How's that performing?
They've noted a few issues, and I thought when we talk about AFF mods, we'd probably do that too. Like the tank, there was some.
They modified that. There's
I haven't seen the new. I haven't had talked to them about the. They haven't been. Their
traffic seems better that they removed, but that bottom is still sketchy.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Funky net bottom.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I haven't talked to the guys to find out how the improvements from this year have.
They've removed a section of the Braille pool framework as well, so the fish could jump out of the Braille pool into the flow.
The project did that, I believe.
That's probably we're not allowed to touch Braille pool.
And they did that why? Because the fish were trying to jump out there anyway.
The most upstream, furthest from the grain rack, there. Throwing themselves up against, so they asked, they said, can we take this part out? I mean, the fish has to jump much higher than they do through the eggs. So if they can jump that, they're doing pretty good, rather than beating themselves up in
that. Whole thing needs to be redone anyway with this mod, so that'll help take care of
that. So let's push that mod, make sure we can.
Try it.
I hear you. Don't
but it's like, it's
press hard.
It's going to be an engineering, or else it's going to be the structural issue.
Well, Doug, you came back just in time for your update.
Oh, yeah.
But prior to that, do you want to
updates? SOR. Just make sure it has the supporting biological rationale.
Okay, good.
SOR.
SOR.
Bingo. Cool. Bango. Okay. Bongo.
Ding dang dong. We're just.
What's that?
I'm not meant to be in the way.
You're not. I support what you're saying. I heard the same words.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it sounds like because we were getting different messages at TNT, so it's like...
If we can find something that's quicker to keep us better on schedule,
we got it.
That you offered SOR that time, I'm sorry I had to hold the line until he double-checked.
I don't mind.
It's just that we need to be clear when we're communicating until things change what it is our needs are.
That's awesome. I'm just glad you went home and talked to me.
I did.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
RCC update.
RCC update. Lower Granite, day 1, 50. Day 5, 44.
Jesus.
And day 10, 41.
Okay, just a minute. 50, 44, 41.
And 41.
Yeah, 50, 44, and 41. And Priest Rapids. Is that what we have on there? Priest?
No,
McNary.
McNary, day 1, 336, day 5, 341, and day 10, 322.
Yeah. Dalles?
And the Dalles.
At about 10 or 15.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could probably dog the Dalles in the future, just because McKenna and
Bonneville
is pretty much the same.
You can be Bonneville.
I mean,
we don't need Dalles.
Let's get Bonneville.
Right.
The reason they have the Dalles is because that's where all the...
Right. Yeah, we can do that. If you want, we can keep it. If you prefer, that's fine.
Bond makes more sense. Just
Bond.
Keep the Dalles.
End of the road. Bond. Day 1, 341. Day 5, 348. And day 10, 329.
It's a big water.
Are you saying the Dalles is very similar to Bonneville?
Yeah, so for example, you look at Bonneville, the Dalles, John Day, their discharge is
almost
darn near a wash. And so...
Aren't that many.
What'd you say day 5 was on the Dalles?
The Dalles?
No, you got the Deschutes.
We didn't go through the Dalles, but I will go through the Dalles. So the Dalles day 1 is 338. Day 5 is 344, and day 10 is 326.
On a light click.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Wind.
Nice.
So this was from today.
Okay.
Any other?
We have loaded project ops into theirs from Marriott, and that's what the RFC forecast is.
Our
updates every Tuesday, we give them our project ops.
Why is that on there?
I don't know.
Why is AB in the bed easing?
Action trigger went for a while.
Because Nathan was going
to
do an avian.
All right, let's move on to 3.5, avian and pinniped hazing. Pinnipeds are over. There is still one animal in the Dalles hanging out, California sea lion, but...
There's as many as 4 upstream of Bonneville Bay.
There are still?
Potentially. No, they don't hold still, so they could be downstream by now. The one guy is the one that you're mentioning that hangs out at the marina at the Dalles.
So they haven't been basically paintballed enough to be able to have good markings yet?
So when you say it's over, they're not surveying anymore.
They're still monitoring the Dalles and Bonneville as people report it.
Making sure that they're not going into the fish ladders.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a concerted effort at the Dalles specifically.
But the actual regular program is completed for the season down at Bonneville.
Was there
as far as avian, you want to speak to the avian?
I was going to say before we jump that, there was talk about moving a cage up to the Dalles Marina to try to trap him and move
above
it down. Not happening?
They don't have the funds.
No surprise.
Avian stuff? Anything?
Bird numbers are down in general. They've kind of dropped off significantly, especially in Dalles, just like the most recent kind of report. And, you know, we kind of continue to roll out this reporting system, the online reporting system we've worked on for the past year. And that's getting closer and closer. We're adding more projects steadily, and as we find bugs and work them out, and we expand it a little more. I think next year we'll have a much better handle on what's happening at all projects as we hit May, when everything blows up. We can at least watch it blow up and decide where to shift things around.
We'll talk about your living crew thing idea.
And I think the only other update we have is that Ken Phone has been working on trying to get us a little bit of lethal tape next year. So we are in process of trying to get just a little bit around, working with Avis and various other parties on that.
Working through an existing permit?
I know.
No, Avis has existing, but we have to do an EA, and then kind of move through process. And so it's going to take some time before we see, but we have at least initiated the effort to start getting parties addressing a little bit, just because we feel that the hazing efforts would be more fruitful.
Greatly enhanced.
You're gonna need something for McNary next year, whether it's wires,
but combination thereof.
We just can't go in next year and go, oh, gee.
Hopefully we'll have people, I guess is what we're hoping.
You're thinking just McNary or anywhere else?
No, we're actually asking for the Lower Snake and McNary.
Oh, okay, McNary. So all projects.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to start a little program to take out wires there,
though. Yeah, we should have another discussion on that, but the kick out from the bypass outfall is if there were still issues that maybe there was some wires needed, and then as Tom mentioned earlier, there's always the decision, everybody was pushing out until a barge decision was made because it did allow for broader coverage. So
right. Maybe figure weight meeting and next this month, let's have that as a
Okay, like I said, I'm personally not going to be there that day, but you
guys
can. It's a
CRFM
funded issue, so yeah.
It's going to be CRFM, it's going to be O&M, so if you can get it on the agenda.
All right, so that's a task. Get that on the fairway to get agenda. All right, any more comments on avian? Avian?
28 or 29.
Do you have a fitter wig update? Anything?
That's
fitter.
Yeah, for
operations.
Yeah.
Right. 25th
is S&P, 26th is
It is. All right, so for fitter wig updates, what do you got?
I have the turbulence reduction device.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we met with hydraulics to talk about how we're going to do the velocity testing in the gatewells, and what they would like to do is test in 14A and 15A at the same time, so we have the same forebay, same tail race.
That makes sense.
And we can get the schedule for testing shortened as well. So I think what we'll probably be asking for is moving the things around in priority a little bit, maybe third and fourth in priority at Powerhouse 2.
What are you thinking? Because isn't there some crane-like device that's going to be out?
Yes, it would be as after the TRDs are installed, so it would be later in March.
Oh, you want
everything
to
will be back up.
We want it, we want to do the velocity testing right after.
It was cursed before then.
You doubled down and cursed it.
So March, not February.
That's correct. Installation would occur in March.
Okay.
Oh, the I thought you said the testing. So when's the testing?
Testing would occur right after installation, and the installation window is 15 days.
Well, are they going to do measurements before and then right after?
They want to do measurements with in Unit 14A with a TRD installed, and Unit 15A without a TRD. Same forebay, same tail race.
Wouldn't it make more sense to do the
same
bay?
Flow.
It makes more sense to do the same bay, do it right before you install, then install and put another one in?
Well, to make the heads and everything the same, this is what hydraulics is telling. This is their opinion.
We've only been warned many times that that four-bay causes changes.
Well, I know.
The gate well,
but
so
just, yeah, I know. That's my thing. Because the four-bay, depending on the eddy and that kind of stuff, will change how 15 and 14 are going to work. So
yeah. Lori Evner's on board with that?
Yes.
Okay.
So why don't we just do these
things? Okay. Are we moving on? EPA updates?
I have no faith in that.
Oh. This isn't the, this is just EPA, I don't know. If Scott has anything that he's for you that you just wanted to update on.
When's the next portal, fairly?
Sounds like
I guess Scott was going to talk with,
First Thursday.
We'll just jump right into four.
No changes? Okay, so we just went through 3.7 burn. We're good.
Right.
Second.
So the coordination forms we're going to need approval on is 12 bond 11, which is the CHUM operations. The action was Scott was going to see if we could run the B2 corner collector.
Yes. When you do that,
be burned?
Yes.
The collector is not available to be run, so it's a moot point. It's
going to
be under repair, Tom, so it's not available to
run. That was actually Gary, but I've always the same concern.
All these things can be discussed.
Right. I got the okay to run it. It's not available to run.
Oh, I wonder if they knew that ahead of time when they gave permission.
Updated it.
Well, maybe we change what we're doing in the corner collector.
No,
yes.
We need to get those repairs done.
Let's just let it erode into the tail race.
Well, then let it erode. Let the whole dam just erode into the river.
I work below that dam. Don't say those things. I'm running for high ground and it's not for you.
That's the corner way. That's not the corner collector.
I'm closer to the spill.
What's that?
It says that's one of our newer pieces of infrastructure. We have to at least do preventative maintenance
That all makes sense in a normal situation. But you've got a situation now
that could
be very lethal to fish in that forebay.
Well, that's what we're talking. Like, if you can get the first 2 weeks of September, first 2 weeks of September, and then take it down for your...
That's my recommendation. We need to get to that. I mean, there's about 10 things in this agenda that are all tied to that same issue.
You want to
talk about
them
when you
want to
talk about
them. Yeah,
you
feel like talking about Bonneville.
Well, we can talk about Bonneville right now. Let's get it all out on the table.
So you're suggesting not taking out the corner collector?
Well, let's just get into the discussion of this 800-pound gorilla that has been throwing at us.
He's got
one, two, three, four, five, six, who knows how many issues all going on at once, but what it boils down to is we could be seriously harming adult salmon through this whole operation the way it's been laid out, through fallback. That's my biggest concern, not so much juvenile passage, but fallback of adults. And so I don't know when you want to get into it, but I kind of laid out some what I thought maybe could a good operation.
Well, on 12 bond 11, you're saying you want to operate the corner collector until the 15th of September.
To at least gain some level of fallback protection.
I mean,
15th
all
of September.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
can check on that.
We can check on it, but we have contracts in place right now to do this work.
Well, so no. 12th Bond 11 was just November Chum Ops.
Right.
That's all that that change form is for. So September is not part of that change form. September would be part of the next change form, but for November Chum Ops, the corner collector is not available.
That's true.
Until the 10th.
So.
Until the 10th.
Until the 10th.
11th.
And the potential for getting it back early is going to decrease if we cut a little bit of time off the front end.
I know. Then we'd have to basically weigh which is going to be the bigger impact. Which benefit? I mean, do you want to check more fallback there?
No, we have to have it back because we're dewatering Washington Shore. You don't have wiggle room on the end.
That's what I'm saying. The chum offs time frame, November 1 to 10. The early less if we cut the front end off.
You'll still have to come back.
Sure.
You'll still have to come back at some time.
Painful.
You're covered.
All right, so it's been requested that John Skidmore go ahead and do his Pike Minnow presentation or whatever you have for us. So why don't we go ahead and do that, and then we'll start the long drawn out discussion of bond operations. And
is this item five?
What do you got,
yeah.
John?
I appreciate the change in the schedule. So I haven't actually been at an FPOM where this came up, so I've been getting this information sort of secondhand through Scott and a little bit through Gary. And thank you, Tammy, for putting me on the schedule. But so just a quick background, the Northern Pike Minnow Management Program has been around as long as I've been around, and currently in its 22nd year of implementation. It has various program components associated with it. Some of them come, some of them go, but one of them that's been there since the beginning is biological evaluation program component. That's implemented by ODFW. It's been implemented by ODFW since its basic research components back in the early 80s. The purpose of biological evaluation, they're approved permit-wise to use two gears, electroshocking and gill netting. We haven't used gill netting in a number of years. The purpose, so they go in, they're in the field two times a year. They're in the field preseason meaning pre-sport reward removal, to tag, to sample and tag as many northern pike minnow 250 millimeter sport flank or longer, to put back in the system. They're externally tagged with a spaghetti tag. The purpose of that is to be able to measure in-season exploitation rate once the sport reward fishery goes into full implementation, which is usually the first of May. They go in and sample fish up till about now. They take a little break, and then they'll go back in midsummer, mid to late summer, and do a biological evaluation component of it, which is they try to look at inter and intra-specific compensation issues. One of the things they do is they sample bass and walleye, lavagem, try to see if there's, and take measurements and weights just to see if there's any other predators, indigenous or otherwise, are compensating for the removals that we've been doing now for 20-some years. So there's two time periods. As of statistical week 28, which I believe finished Sunday, electroshocking has entered. Because I, hearing the concerns were through adult salmon interceptions. So today, they have intercepted 1,493 adult salmon. We do not do stock composition. As some of you who are familiar with electroshocking, it's a pulse direct current. You know, you end up, when you're on the pedal, it's about 2.5 amps. You're on the pedal, fish rise. You know, Noah was very, and I agree with him.
That's what I have to try.
Didn't want us to net to do stock composition because that's just a handle and all that stuff and parts more mortality. So we do have protocols in place to, you know, if you intercept a lot of adults, you got to immediately leave and try another transect, sampling the same transect if you're intercepting a lot of adults. So 1,493, that's not 1,493 morts, that's 1,493 adult fish that are between the anode and the other one. Cathode, thank you. So I don't know really what more, you know, if there's some specific questions. I wasn't at any of the F-bombs where this came up, so if there's any questions, anything I can answer, we have...
The concern in BGPRZ.
There's a whole list of protocols. One of the things I thought that people, I had heard that they were getting too close to the adult fishway entrance. The protocol is 500 feet. So if you guys are seeing, if project personnel are seeing that boat up there closer than 500 feet, somebody needs to notify me or notify, because that would be in violation of, there's a whole list of protocols, sampling protocols. You know, you can't be on the pedal more than X seconds. It's about, I think it's a 30 hertz, 2 to 2.5 amps. I don't know what, I don't have the voltage to amp, Tesla's law, whatever in my head, but I don't know what that manifests. But it's, you know, Noah's printed a protocol for electroshocking that's about 10, 12 years old. We follow that protocol. It's a pulse direct current, fairly low amps.
Yeah, and there was specific, I was involved originally in this thing, the start of it, Mikey, and that was, we did set up a specific protocol for, like, Tom Poe was doing the work at that time at USGS, it was an idea, because the idea was that if you saw any adults, I think you moved, if you saw adults, you know, you kept hitting adults, eventually you would leave the area, and I don't remember what the iteration of that was, or if there was an iteration where, you know, you're okay until you see him, okay, back up. Still see them, back up, still see them, go someplace else.
Yeah, you just mentioned USGS, there have been pretty salient and research associated with electroshocking. Poe, Matt Mesa's pretty well published on the topic. Large fish, trout, salmonids are mostly susceptible to most of the level. You know, talked about vertebrae damage and all of that, so I'm pretty aware of it. I just, if there's a specific issue, let me know, and I'll certainly follow up on it. Or if there's some more information, I mean, what did somebody? Somebody saw ODFW right at the adult fishway entrance. Now 500 feet.
Too close. Okay.
Well, and the concern was the numbers of salmon that were in the bycatch for the limited number of pike minnow that were showing up on the reports that ODFW sent out.
Well, you're always going to see this time of the year, especially with juveniles. I mean, adults one thing, but juveniles. This is
right. That's the juveniles. Concern we're from FPOM.
Juveniles?
Yeah.
Well, you're getting like 1,100 juveniles to like...
It's 11,000.
11,000 juveniles.
Yeah, total number of juveniles intercepted this year is 62,000.
Okay. Versus... It seems like we could be smarter about, like, maybe at some point you start saying, if I'm getting 11,000 juveniles and like 15 pike, you know, maybe we start thinking about... That's good.
Well, okay, so the ratios, we are in a very high year of tagging northern pike minnow. We had 1,751. That compares to probably a 10-year average of about 800 fish. So we're almost double what we're normally tagging a year. And that's important because NOAA has really hammered us on years we can't get enough. We don't get enough pike minnow tagged, then we don't have good accurate estimates of our exploitation rate because the error bounds go crazy on it. So... NOAA has encouraged us to increase our tagging efforts in order to better evaluate the program in the back end. So it's your classic trade-off. How much information you're trying to get versus how much impact you have on incidental species.
So I assume then it's fairly direct. Double the tag result, you've doubled your effort, so you're out there intercepting twice as many fish as you normally did.
Our hours today are almost... Our tracking average hours, so our CPUEs for pike minnow, targeting pike minnow, are actually pretty high this year.
What about hiring like USDA anglers to go out and do hook and line and tag and release?
Well, we're doing dam angling this year. It's just not through animal damage control anymore. We had issues with their contract.
That's but not for tag and release, though, is it? That's for tag and
instead of for removal, but right. I mean, you could certainly do tagging.
The thing is, though, you want those fish to survive, so somebody else can get the, you know, you're trying to get a
hook and line. I mean, you, in terms of injury associated with hook and line, it can be, you know, easy or it could be down.
Right. I don't know anything about, I mean, you used to fish professionally for pike minnow.
1990.
Plus, you have to have a huge preseason effort. See, the thing is, you need to guarantee that you get tags out there before you have a public fishery. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to measure your exploitation rate and other things fall apart.
Well, yeah, I'm saying, like, early in the season, I think from the numbers we're looking at, it seems like it was much better. It seems like there seems to get to a certain point where maybe transition to a hook and line technique might be the way to go. Because, I mean, it's like, yes, I know Noah's really big on numbers and stuff, but it's like at some point throwing the baby out with the bathwater, getting 1,000 juveniles, electroshocking them to get 5 pike minnows, at some point it starts looking a little, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for here, stupid. I'm just like saying, isn't there a smarter way to do this? Because,
okay, well,
I mean, I'm just saying, because we get pounded in the S&P and that kind of stuff, and that things when people, like, kill a couple juveniles here and there and that kind of stuff, and then I see these big things like going, well, we had to get this data, so we electroshocked 1,100 juveniles. And I'm going,
but in a macro sense, Tom, I understand what you're saying from, but keep in mind.
I was thinking for Noah's consistency here. I'm not pounding you, I'm just pounding Noah for being inconsistent like they always are. So
we'll be inconsistently require monitoring for the bio.
Regardless of the impact, I love it.
If the impact is as high as. What's the impact?
You're comparing.
Well, it's funny because you're shocking to let them go and hope the guy they survive.
Yeah.
You have no way. You're not even measuring your impact because you can't unless you want to do more handling. So it's like shock, let it go.
Well,
and
the adult side of it, I don't think we're hitting that many. The juvenile side, we are. It sounds like a lot more than I had expected.
Well,
but is that those numbers 60 some thousand in a year? That's quite a few.
That's
most of those fish
slightly high this year, but you know it's always in the 30s to 50s. You know, it's just one of the things is the implementation of this program back in 90, we didn't have the kind of abundances, you know, adult-wise, we didn't have the kind of abundances that we do now. So, you know, we used to do on an annual basis, figure out what the total number of fish intercepted. Now we take the Vice Ferguson memo is,
right.
The preseason estimate, and NOAA has us a percentage of the run based on the preseason estimate, and that's what we track. I agree with what you're saying, Tom, but you got to look at the bigger picture. We're doing this for purposes of evaluation. People, you know, I've been doing this program for quite a long time, and it ebbs and flows. Why are you evaluating it? You know,
I'm not saying you're
evaluating.
You're
going to say something
because
other people on the other side say, "Well, just take fish out." You know that. You know, take predators out, you know it's going to do something good. And
but exploitation rate is what the measure was set by ODF and W on the onset of the program, you know, meet that 15% or whatever.
10 to 20.
10 to 20. Yeah.
We've been consistently above 15 since the 05 bio has been committed in the AMIP and subsequent to try to heavy up, to try to impart a better benefit.
So,
researchers estimate 3 to 6 million smolts not consumed on an annual basis.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm not saying you don't evaluate. I'm just saying, is there a way you can look at changing how you're going to evaluate at some point? Like, instead of some triggers, we have how many years now of data saying at some point you're going to notice that electroshocking, you're getting very few pike minnow. Just because they're hard to get, it's hard to electroshock and that stuff, but you're getting a lot more juveniles. At that point, it seems like you have a bunch of dam anglers. You could probably get the same number of high quality fish through dam anglers at that time. I'm saying, is there some way to look at that?
Tom, just a second. This is a system-wide program. So, yes, you're going to get 4 bay and tailrays samples, but the ODFW researchers transect from Tennessee Island all the way up to the tailrays at Hales Canyon and all the way up to Priest Rapids. I mean, you have to, in order to run a management program in which you're evaluating, you have to have marks all throughout the system.
It's a system.
I agree that, yeah, you at certain times you could probably do better at 4 bay tail race, maybe you would avoid adult fishway entrances, and that's something I guess we could look at.
We went through all of this in the 90s, in the early 90s, we went through all this process of trying to figure out what the best way to. Craig Tusk was the guy that was working that.
That's half my point. It's been the 90s. I've been here too damn long, and that was even before I was here.
Right.
I'm saying at some point, would you not want to, is there any process for looking at this and saying, hey, can we do this smarter and better?
ISAB takes a look at pike minnow. I mean, last time ISAB was in 2003. Dave Hankin from Humboldt, pretty well-respected fishery biologist and professor evaluated the program. In fact, his results of evaluation was you need to increase your tagging because you're evaluated. Statistical evaluation lags when you don't have as many pike in the system in the queue. So,
well, yeah, I think he's just going to say that.
Yeah, right. No, that's true.
I mean, he would say that because he's looking at statistically. And yeah. We've kind of backed off a little bit. We still want to see some fairly close, you know, error bounds associated with the estimate to make sure that we're at least within the 10 to 20% or around 15%. Yeah. And, you know, that's a requirement of biop. If you're going to do the program, you need to evaluate it, you need to supply what you said you're going to supply, which is that expectation rate. So
if you guys want to do, you know, this is not the forum, but I mean, we're perfectly willing to do some kind of a research review, you know, ad hoc research review of the region, you know, to deal with those things. And if we get some results out of that, you know, we could carry it to whatever appropriate process is.
Well, I mean, we went down the track of all the different methods of sampling, though, like Merwin traps and other trapping, electro fishing, gill netting, all these different ways of hook and line. All that was looked at, and what came out of that was the electro fishing in the spring was the best way to get hands-on fish. That's 20 years ago. I don't think there's any new technologies out there.
Well, the problem with hook and line in cold water is you're not going to get that. I mean, pike minnow metabolizes to the water temperature, so you're not going to get a lot of response like that in March and April when you're out there doing your tagging. So,
no, it just that was the most effective way to get sample fish early in the season to tag for your Peterson type index population estimates and removal. That's, you know, how it's all based. So I don't know how else you would change it unless you say.
Do you know how much grief you give me in the AFF about my guys over there working in the AFF? And that sets harvest numbers and run numbers. And you guys give me grief. To a degree. And you guys give me grief up to guinea egg about a couple extra fish being delayed and that stuff. And then you guys will let other researchers for the predation of this stuff to go out and roll a fair number of adults and not even estimate an impact on that. I'm just saying, when I have to do my research in this, I'm just saying.
We have a mortality rate.
There is an estimate.
I'm just saying, like, when I explain my research, it makes it a little tough sometimes.
Well, at least we have a fairly solid roadmap between pike minnow removal and benefits to salmonids. I don't have that same roadmap for the.
If you were to go talk to Zach about that,
how harvest is actually modified.
Hey, who sits on that group too? I think there's an agency called NOAA that oversees that.
That's true. There is, and I'm not saying they aren't guilty either.
I'm just saying
that there's no real roadmap for either of these. Honestly, so maybe we should stop them both.
Hey, what a shock. I'm just saying, honestly, like, we've gone through ad nauseum of how to improve the AFF and make things as good as possible for adults and reduce impact as we can. And I'm saying that's a great idea. I'm saying
you're the chairman of the committee to work out.
Hell no. I'm just saying, it seems like the same amount of level of interest, doggedness, could also be applied to this a little bit to see, are there ways to make this better?
Well, we're in the FCRPS lineup, we're basically in the consultations because of the remand. We are attempting to fold pike minnow into the larger biological opinion. There will be opportunity to go through management protocols associated with that. If you're interested in getting some kind of a workshop, I'd be happy to go down that path. And yeah. You know, kind of like the normal disease workshop that we did here 4 or 5 years ago.
Don't complain.
All right, one more question and we'll wrap this up.
I'm assuming there's annual reports available on the BPA site. Mm-hmm.
They're on the pikeminnow.org site or through Pisces.
Pikeminnow.org.
So it's just contact info. So if you see something you don't like, give
me a call. John home phone number. You know.
We don't get that out anymore.
All right, thanks, John.
Aren't you happy you came?
Thank you.
So let's get back into the meat of the discussion on summer ops for Bonneville.
So is that our hors d'oeuvre?
Hold on.
That was a...
Do we want to do other things that we can get done quickly? And
we want a workshop? Or no?
No.
Is that not an action item?
I don't think so.
I would love to. I just don't have the time.
Tom's just going to reevaluate the program, come up with some options.
Because you know, I've got so much free time. So much free time.
We'll just task Tom with that. Tom's going to come up with a new
plan. Keep it up. For methods, keep it up.
So are you want to...
So I'm wondering, we've got a couple people that are way that are just real quick coordinations. If we're going to get into a long discussion, that are on the phone, whether we could just.
All right. Well, why don't we wrap up the Walla Walla stuff and save the Bonneville one for the end? Because you know.
Have left the conference.
So you want to jump to 4.3, LOMO, summer spill change? Is that what you're talking?
Well, sure. Actually, people that we have on the phone, I think we're on for an FPP change form for Lamprey and also the Ice Harbor JCDS outfall, so that was 4.4.
Okay, that's fine. Do it.
If we could get those two out of the way, then these guys don't have to sit on the phone, you know, for ages. So maybe, Brad, you're still on the phone for 4.4 for Ice Harbor, JCVS, outfall, JSATS, hydrophone installation?
Yes, I'm here.
So you want to give us a little bit of brief background, because you had some things that changed yesterday?
Yeah, there have been a couple of changes since last week. I needed to get the request form in pretty quickly because we were coming down to the end of the week, and John Bailey and Greg Moody had requested I have it in by Friday. So before I even get started, I just want to make it clear that the actual operations change is not necessarily to shift all the spill up to base 6 through 10. It's not a request to reduce spill or to remove spill from the RSW. So just a little background on the project. We've got a Taylor's acoustic tracking study going on. It's within a 500-meter area downstream of the powerhouse and spillway and so forth to encompass the entire project. And the idea is we can actually determine the feasibility of doing acoustic tracking in 3D in the turbulent area there below the project. And it's going to include fishway entrances, and we're even considering the auxiliary water pumps and just about anything that we can think of that where we can actually get some hydrophones in and determine the accuracy and precision of 3D tracking within that turbulent area and know our boundaries and limitations. And probably the most significant information we can get from the results of this study would have to do with adult salmon, lamprey, and steelhead that are approaching the project and how they approach the fishways and how they enter those fishways and so forth. But it has application to just about any type of JSATS study we would like to perform. And collecting noise measurement on in the spillway and in front of the powerhouse and under multiple different types of operations is applicable to other projects, not just Ice Harbor. So this has something that has a lot of use in the future, and so that's why this is going on. The request for potential spill pattern change is when it is, simply because we had a large delay in actually having the project funded and getting kicked off, and so the hope was to have all of this done back in March, but clearly we're a few months behind. So with that being said, like I said, the original change request was shift the spade of the north, the spill to the north spillway, and between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., clearly the desired date was yesterday, so being able to coordinate that for next week or a later date would be just fine. I went out to the project and met with Trevor McClain, who's the chief of operations at Ice Harbor, and met with Daniel Dang from PNL, who's, I guess, the principal investigator for the study, and talked with Martin Ahman and a couple other hydraulic engineers, and it looks like the best thing to do is request that when river flows come down below 40,000, that we can go out and actually assess what's going on in the tail race and make a decision whether it's still safe to try to get in there if we request a spill pattern change that would essentially just spread the spill out across the north end of the powerhouse, leaving the RSW where it's operating. And I guess depending upon what turbine units would be running with the pattern that was attached to this request form, I believe one you all have should have this spill pattern. That was at 34.4 KCFS. If Unit 1 is really the only turbine operating and we're under 40,000 total river discharge. I feel like the spill pattern that's unit 246 is what's shown here, and maybe if we opened up 7 or 8 or something that on the north end of the powerhouse or spillway, if it was necessary, that those flows might allow those guys to get in there and safely be able to work from their boat. They want to install the hydrophone cable or the hydrophone cable arrays on the GBS structure there at the end of the pipe.
Brothers, Tom Moores, is there any reason why this couldn't be pushed off till, I don't know, the last 2 weeks of August? You'll still have spill, flows will be lower, it'll be easier to get out there and work it. I mean, all you're really doing is doing a pilot study, just check out the noise levels to see if your new hydrophones can actually track acoustic fish in these much noisier areas that previously were untrackable. So couldn't you just wait till like the last week of August? You'll have so few, there'll be a lot fewer juveniles around, yada, yada, yada. What's the push for doing it right now when we still have fair numbers of juveniles moseying through the system?
Well, the push for doing it now is because we want to get a whole lot of different operation and spill levels and all that involved in the study. I guess the potential that we could delay the or move the contract date into next year is possible, but that would just kind of confound things.
I wouldn't say for next year. I was saying you'll still have spill all through August 31st, but if you wait till mid-August, you'll still have spill goes on through the 31st, so you'll have 2 weeks of testing through that. And so I wasn't saying move into next year. I'm saying just move it towards the end when you're out of the kind of, you're still kind of fair numbers of fish passage numbers moving through. So is there, why wouldn't you wait?
I guess the question is, Brad, how much, how many weeks of data do you need to collect?
And also,
well, that's a good question. I discussed that with Daniel from PNNL and said if we need more data, I guess when we cross the bridge of, are we going to have to extend the contract, and we'll come to it. He says at this moment it's unclear whether they're going to have enough data or not. The plan was to be collecting data sent from April on. So,
Brad, for you, what is the definition of noise? Are you talking about physically listening for sound, or the bubbles in the current?
What is the actual measurement is the JSTATS tag has a particular frequency. And so they're measuring essentially the vibration noise in the tail race that comes from the water spill, comes from the air bubbles. That has to, obviously the bubbles have to do with detection probabilities. But they're trying to figure out which frequencies are going to inhibit actual detections and where and under what operations. And
so with less spill, you'll have less noise, and that might be a concern why you don't want to do it later.
But exactly. That's why we want to get higher flow operations in if we can.
Well, what get down to the brass tacks here. What you're talking about is
you're not going
to modifying spill for a few hours.
Well, it's like, yeah, but I'm saying if you want higher flows, you're going from 40 in August, you're probably down to 30. You're only talking 10K. That's not diddly over poop.
I'm sure argumentative today.
Because I was supposed to be home packing for camping, and now I'm going to be like putting up a tent at midnight. But so
I'll be right behind you.
I'm just like
it is a good question. I think that he's raising, because this has gone on a couple times. Remember McNary tail race?
Yeah.
We had USGS out there doing something similar. And if we're going to go ahead and have somebody do it again, how about we get it comprehensive and really dot the I's and cross the T's here? And so, if you are coming in late, your flows are going to be limited here, particularly coming out of the Snake River. Now
they're only going down.
The only bump you're going to see is just a little bit, a couple KCFS from Dorshak as it pumps maybe a little bit more later in the summer, still be dropping. So I would say he has a kind of a valid comment for you to address here, Brad. You're trying to do something that you say is going to have merit for a lot of other studies, and you're going to want to make implications for spring as well as summer probably out of it, and just to go out now this late in the season doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, well, I don't really know, how to argue that.
Well, I think what I would say is maybe if what you want to do is update the coordination form and think that through and give us some justification why you still think it's important. Obviously, these guys will review it again. You're probably about a week out before you get below 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's one other question I've got. If I'm not asking for a reduced spill or a spill to be removed from the RSW, what is the real issue with spreading out a couple other bays on the north side of the spill?
All he's asking for is a six-hour mod to the spill pattern.
I know.
And then he'll be able to get data and at least lead him into the next year's...
But he said he was going to make changes to project operations.
Right.
That's
right.
What I need to find out. What other changes do you plan on making? And also,
I think it's just a modification of spill pattern for 6 hours. That's it.
But he said he wanted to test across a wide range of operations for different spill operations.
Happens.
Okay, whatever happens.
Whatever happens. There's right, Brad? That was just whatever happens.
Right.
You're not changing.
You're right. The whole idea is to get these in and then just do what we get with whatever operations we get.
Brad, a question for you?
Yeah.
All right.
Through.
You want to pitch your
I'm sorry, come back.
Before midnight?
What is the operation for the buy-up right now at Ice Harbor?
As of tomorrow, it goes to 45 KCFS and gas cap.
Yep.
For the rest of the summer.
Yep, for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, it's a 30% day. That's all left.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, today is the last one.
That's why I'm
going to say the flow is really low.
A month at this or 2 weeks at this?
Yeah, well, they're
damn different.
I guess the other part of it is they're trying to figure out how this is all going to work, so giving them a chance to at least get in there. Brad, were they going to do this again next year, or do they need to, or you think they'll?
Well, the plan was to have it all done this year. If it comes down to where we're going to have to extend the contract into next year, then what's going to happen is when fish passage operations are out this winter, they'll install what they need for the next year, and then we won't have any issues.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying,
right.
Like, I mean, talk to the researchers and find out if they think, whatever you're going to get, a month and a bit left of lower flows below 40 with one spill operation, if that's going to be enough to get you information. If it's not, and you're going to come back and do this anyways, let's just wait and do it all
at
one time.
That's a good point.
If
they're not going to get both spill operations, does that cause you concern?
Even with both spill operations, the fact that you're at like below 40 when we've had spill this year up there and like over 120, if not greater at Ice Harbor. So, I mean, the range of operations they're going to get is so small compared to what they are going to expect there at most times. You may say, yeah, that below 40 we can get JSATs work fine. That's all well and good, but that's only a very small time in the window of the season. So, I mean, I think you're really kind of stuck a little bit. You're going to have to do this again. So I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I would just
pilot that you need to do,
well,
then
exactly.
Fine, but if it's not, then wait a year and do it then.
Hey, this is Derek. Part of this evaluation is determining whether how much, you know, what kind of behavior information we can get for adult salmon and lamprey in the upcoming years where we're going to have these pretty big tagging projects. We just had an SRWG meeting the other day discussing, you know, the magnitude of adult studies that may be happening next year. And some of this information could really feed into what type of technology we want to invest in for those evaluations. And, you know, right now is the prime time for lamprey passage in the snake. And so this is still a really good time to gather some of this, you know, midsummer to late summer information from a lamprey perspective. And if we were able to get this equipment in and do these noise measurements now, it would eliminate us from having to do it next summer and then push another year out. So I would say there is some urgency to getting as much information as we can this summer, and then maybe we do have to, you know, wire up a little earlier next year to get the spring operations, to get some of those other operations.
So you're pulling a lamprey card and saying we actually have actively tagged lamprey through there
next year.
Well, actually, they've actually JSAT.
This year.
That's not the point, though. I mean,
if he'd led with that, he would have had a much shorter answer for me.
So what
I
you
told
think,
you earlier.
Knowing
well,
that,
he would bring
knowing that do you have a problem when the flows get below 40 with what they've proposed?
I'm sorry, say that again.
No, I'm asking Tom. Knowing that Derek has thrown the lamprey card in there now, does Tom want to reconsider whether he would be willing, just for the short duration that's left of this year, to approve the coordination?
So you'll be able to get actively tagged lamprey this season, how they interact around Ice Harbor?
No, they're just measuring noise.
Next
year, we're just trying to get
noise.
The noise measurements so that we can determine whether it's actually feasible to get approach.
You need to rethink your answer, Derek.
On lamprey in the future, we're talking about, next year of a quite large active telemetry study for adult lamprey to study a bunch of the ladder and entrance changes that we've made. So it would be really good to know whether we want to invest the money in JSAT tagging a large number of fish or whether we use traditional RT
would you give us a more restricted,
conditions and fall conditions. Fall conditions.
You've already got the funds for this. You're already spending the money, right?
Right, exactly. Contract's been awarded.
So it's just a matter of doing. You got a 6-hour spill mod, and then you'll get data for this year. You'll be ready for next summer, and you'll have to get spring data next year to get the whole gamut of noise that you can get out of that. At least you'll be ready for the lamprey passage next summer, when and you can get 3D data from them. So that sounds like a pretty good deal. For anybody who's interested in
I lamprey. Won't go that far. That's a good deal. But
another lamprey card was on the table.
Wow. You know, for someone who doesn't care about lamprey and doesn't vote at all on the research,
you know, I'm really not
an advocate.
I'm only lukewarm one way or the other, but I mean, we'll get salmon data, we'll get lamprey data, we'll get juvenile.
What are the current fish passage numbers? I mean, you know, we're just to my knowledge, we finished up performance standard testing because most of the sub yearlings are going to. Have already began their holdover life history, and so I guess we need to look and see what the actual passage numbers
you
are.
Guys are
I can
so
tell you,
know.
You what that is. We have
you
about
guys have a problem?
40% of no. the
stupid.
Wild Snake River Falls Chinook out migration to go. We're at about the 60% point.
March.
We're probably at the 90% point or 95% point when you include hatchery stocks. We're probably at the 5% or maybe even the 0% point if you're considering Clearwater River stocks. So that's kind of, you have to look at it in a tiered way, but for wild, what we most care about stock, we're still got about 60 or about 40% left to go.
Okay.
As of yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's still fish in the river. They're still important, but on the other hand, and Bill would have to answer this, whether that modification would be
it's probably
what I think it could do is just shifts fish from the RSW, from the possibility of passing the RSW, puts all the flow over several bays to the north of the RSW.
Should be
the RSW is our best survival route there. So fish will probably still pass through the spillway rather than ending up clear over unit one on the south far south side, but they probably won't have as high a survival rate, you know, a difference of 1 or 2%.
Brad, you're going to continue to use the RSWs, all right?
Right.
Okay.
What is the source of the data for that, for hatchery and wild? Because the SMP it's a pit tags. Pit okay.
Yeah, the tag
yeah,
and wild.
Thinking,
and
they don't tag, yeah, clips of them.
Connor's tags.
Okay.
The important ones.
Okay.
They
so
can't bump spill anymore. I mean, I say we'll bump up, but they don't. They want to try to reduce
6-hour outage. So let's get it done.
Spread it all out.
Yeah.
And then
this is just for install.
Put a hole in the middle of the river for a little while.
Yeah.
And fill it back in.
6-hour change.
Sounds like everybody could go with the 6-hour outage. Is there anybody having last minute in terms of when that outage should be? They've recommended they'd like to start at 10. I mean, I think that's probably something that could be pushed a little later. People felt noon was a better start time.
Actually, do you think 6 hours?
10's fine.
Okay.
Midday.
Okay.
Split
11
to 5.
So
10
or
10
o'clock.
Sorry.
10 o'clock.
10
6 hours.
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
Sun's up for a little while longer.
That's right.
Or less, as if it
or
could be less.
Less.
Yeah, but
up
whatever,
to.
You know, get it done.
Okay. And so once you do it, then you'll coordinate back with us, and we'll let people know through a memorandum of coordination what actually took place and when.
Okay,
thank you. And then I think
right,
the other one we wanted to move on to.
So my question, was there a day established? Did we determine what
when
day?
It gets below 40. 40.
When it gets below 40,
40
KCMS.
Which is
below 40. Okay,
which,
according
you.
To Doug, was
sometime maybe next week.
10 days?
Yeah.
10 days.
So the other one we're going to do before.
Is there a specific day you want the river below 40?
God's on the phone.
That was good.
It'll be on Tuesday, except we got this on Tuesday.
At this point, they're flexible. They went out, I don't know if you heard, Scott, this week and determined that until it was below 40, they really couldn't get out and do anything. So, you know, they're...
You make it happen if it has to happen. Is there a day you guys want to have it happen?
So, Brad...
Yeah, we don't have a specific day, but the sooner the better. So probably as soon as the river comes down below 40, then we're going to be out there and try to get it done.
So the first of the week you'd like to do it, Brad?
That would be nice, yes.
And
would you like Tuesday at 10 next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Scott, okay, thank God. Would you stay on the phone for the Bonneville discussion? Please.
The okay. voice has spoken, and so
thanks,
shall
Scott.
We.
Vacation.
Doug, can you write a teletype for that?
Sure.
Sure.
You have to shake Doug a little harder, guys.
I was looking at
with response.
He does order
25 July. Ice Harbor inflow is at 40.16 and then dropping below, so 39.5 on the 26th.
Yeah. He's gonna make it happen on Tuesday at 10.
And he wants
a teletype.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
So some
24.
Cool.
Below 40 on Tuesday.
It's the 24th.
Tuesday the 24th at 10.
10 yeah. o'clock.
That's cool.
39.5.
So the it's only other one that we were thinking we'd jump to to help the people on the phone was 9.1, the Lamprey entrance SFEW2 stilts. I heard that Steve Junkie was on the phone. I don't know if you want to talk about that. That's an FPP change for him. We had that from Carl Dugger. Otherwise, John will go ahead and maybe give an intro, but I heard you were on the phone, so I don't know. Do you have anything you want to say, Steve?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Well, first, have people reviewed the change form?
Which one is this?
The stilts. We have gone with the nighttime, reduced nighttime flow operation at SFE1. SFE2 has the 16-inch stilt, deep water opening, flood opening, and something that we missed through that coordination there last fall was the concern from the operators that if we tried lowering SFE2 down to maximize a nighttime flow or to get a nighttime reduced flow, that those stilts were going to be in the way and they could end up leading to slack in the cables of the gate, the upper leaf gate. So what they're currently doing is turning that unit off at 2100 when they go to the nighttime reduced flow. And with that, they asked that we submit a FPP change.
So does everybody know what he means by turning that unit off? It just means that the automatic adjustment goes to manual.
Yep.
Okay.
Done.
My understanding was they're currently shutting it off manually, but they made some adjustments and elevation change where they didn't have to do that. Is that correct?
Actually, I don't have an update from Bobby on that one.
All right, but it's approved.
Currently, they were going to the manual at 2100.
Okay, I don't think anybody have any issues with this. No, I think that's what we're trying to do is get this box checked.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's me get back to schedule.
I got one thing. Fred Higginbotham keeps trying to call me about whether the ramps and the orifices have been coordinated here for
granite.
I don't know.
I emailed them back that I wasn't aware that they'd ever been coordinated here. I guess the issue is that unless they're doing something outside the winter work window, it's generally a fit or wait discussion where you go in and you say, we want to build this, and people talk about it, and they say yay or nay.
Yeah.
So unless you're impacting operations potentially down the line, I guess I'll give you an example, with diffuser grading at lower granite. With diffuser grading replacement of a different size, they're questioning whether that's having some effect on the pumps because the screens are clogging more and the pumps are overheating. So if they go in to Fitterwig and want to make a change and then it's going to affect our operations, then yes, it has to come here. Yeah. If they're going to go to Fitterwig and just make a change that isn't going to affect our operations, then we're probably okay with them not coming here.
Yeah, done and done.
Good. So
okay.
I'll give Fred that message.
Okay.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be important.
Yeah.
On the orifices and the land.
Ian?
Yes.
This is Chris Petty. I got Fred right here if you guys want to ask him what he really wants.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Bill's here.
Yeah, Fred.
Let me put him on. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Fire away. Bill, I'm assuming Bill's on the line there somewhere.
I'm here, Fred.
Okay.
I'm here. I was just asking Ann to clarify what you wanted. Something you wanted FPOM to do or see if it has done already.
My question was whether or not the orifice construction or whatever you want to call it in the ladders at Goose and Granite for next year, if it's been discussed at all or not. The reason is that I'm doing the biological assessment for it for compliance. And couldn't find any information about whether it's been discussed with FPOM or Fidway or anybody else.
Okay. Anna and I just talked about this. I think it doesn't need to be discussed here because it's not changing the operations of the fish ladders at all.
No.
But it does need to be discussed at Fidway.
It's Fidway.
This has been brought up and discussed at Fidway in the comments we received back from the region were to monitor for salmon passage to make sure we're not messing anything up.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Okay.
And
we are full bore going ahead with that. Cameras are in place. We got active monitoring with active turnaround on those videotapes to give us feedback if we see a problem. So that will be in place for this next spring run. Okay, I asked about Fitterwig earlier today too and couldn't find the notes from the previous meetings, so
they haven't been transcribed yet.
Okay, so we're doing the monitoring now.
Well, the construction is going to take place this winter, and the monitoring will.
Yeah, what's going on here, guys?
Okay,
what the heck's going on?
Okay, we got it. We got it, Fred, Derek. You guys can
just addressing Bill's question. We're good. Thank you for getting on the phone, Fred. I think we're going to go ahead and move back to our agenda.
Can we do the other change for
you? Okay, that's all I needed to find out. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, yeah, we can do the other change one.
Okay. Then I have a lump together.
Sorry very much.
Go ahead, Tammy. Which one do you want to do?
The
Gary 002 spill pattern changes from TSW removals.
Yeah, because those are only two ones.
We talked about that one earlier, so that's already checked.
Okay.
And then the last one is LOMO AWS fish pump maintenance, LMN001.
That one's not a change form, surprisingly enough. When you look at it, it's a coordination form. So that was my question, is what is that one?
Did you change that, John?
Which one is that?
LMN001. So, who originally?
There you go.
Okay. We don't have that one kind of teed up for. I got it. AWX fish pump. So that was looks like.
Did that.
Yeah, we did. And we had some comments.
Is it supposed to be a change form or an MOC?
I thought it was in MOC.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's on a coordination request.
I need it renamed and sent back because it's incorrect.
Renamed as an MOC. And does it need to be renumbered?
Oh, yes. Yes, you will have to renumber it.
Okay, so we will take this back because I'm not sure who did this, but we will. I think I know.
And since we're on that topic, I really need Walla Walla to go to the website and look at all the MOCs that are there and check to make sure that they're correct. And if you have final ones, I need them because.
Okay. We have been having some discussion about some of the things that don't get done here. And so we are trying to work on getting some more involvement in the future so that we are better keeping up with some of the needs that you're putting on the website that maybe aren't getting there. We know that I'm aware that there's stuff from Walla Walla that has been falling through the cracks, and we are kind of having some discussions of trying to get some other involvement so that we can better have that information out for people. And
yeah,
to
just
you in a timely manner.
Whenever you finalize a form, just send it to me and indicate that it's final, and I'll be happy to post it. But I tend to get forms that have dual numbers but different names, and they discuss two totally different issues.
Right.
So the numbering consistency is.
I know you caught that one, and we got. I think it's been
Yeah, it's the, yeah.
Yep.
Some of them do get there.
Okay.
Right.
So, this one will be put in a different format and renumbered.
Thank you.
And re-presented. So, was there anything else? Then we're done with that section, aren't we, for the change forms? So then
yep.
we can jump back up to where you guys were headed.
Coordination. Well, we can finish well, coordination.
Okay.
The diesel generator update, 4.5.
Yep. You want to do,
let's
John,
get them all done here.
Okay, what's...
Diesel generator update at LOMO.
What's the issue?
004. Okay, that's LOMO 007. Basically, what's happened is that we've had two outages that we've coordinated, and when they get out there, everything falls apart. And so now we're back to, they still want another outage to get things hooked up on this diesel generator. Mm-hmm. So they're asking for on August 6th and on August 8th to take down the SQ bus again. So there'd be up to 4 hours on the day of 8-6 and 8 hours on the day of 8-8, 8-9, and 8-10. Both station service buses will be black for up to 4 hours with intermittent outages. Primary testing is scheduled for August 9th and 10th. The 10th is a floater, a backup day if the 9th things don't get completed. So actually it's the 9th.
So 2 4-hour blocks on the 9th.
Yeah, it sounds to me like just an 8 hour, yeah, 2 4-hour blocks, but I think it's going to be a straight 8 hour block on the 9th. A
yeah.
4 hour block on the 6th, and then an 8 hour block on 8-8, 8-9, potentially.
Okay.
Primary testing 8-9.
So 4 hours on the. Okay.
Yeah. Well, what I have is length of time for repairs, 8-6, SQ-0 outage for 4 hours, 8-8, bus 1 and SQ-0 for 8 hours, 8-9, both bus 1 and bus 2 intermittently for 4 hours.
Okay.
And then they just have the float day of the 10th in case the stuff on the 9th doesn't get done. So this is covered as a coordination form.
Yeah.
And I believe
this is an addition.
Did you folks not see this until the agenda? Maybe did this not get sent out? Except
a participant has left the conference.
I haven't seen this.
Okay.
I saw the previous one. The previous was not.
Yeah,
not
this one went out with the
agenda.
The agenda.
The agenda.
Okay.
Yeah. So in sort of the change over here between Greg and John, some of the things that were really close. Rather than send him out a day or two ahead of the meeting, he just attached him to Tammy to put on the agenda. So I guess the question is, does anybody have any concerns about this going ahead?
This is just going to gravity flow for the ladders for the during that time.
That's correct.
And it's going to be done in the day, in the afternoon.
You're doing it late afternoon, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I think you need to.
Yes.
We need to specify because right now what I see and hear is I do not see specified.
That was what I had. That was my only concern with.
Let's start at noon, say.
I would say 2. Even if you start at 2, because that puts you 2 to 6.
Yeah.
Boom, you're done. If you do that, I'm fine with it.
So 2 p.m. on 8-6, and then the 8 hour we start at 2, and we go till.
If you could do that.
10, we'll ask, but if we had to start at noon, we just back it up to have daylight hours?
As late as possible.
Okay. Do it as late as possible. I mean, the more we push this in the night, the least I have concern of it.
Okay. Thanks on that one. So the next one...
No, we're doing
Gantz.
I'm
leaving.
Mm-hmm.
That we have, let's see, that was 4.5, 4.7, that has already taken place, so that was my coordination, that was Lower Granite 008, that was to hook up the power to the crane, so that's already taken place, so that's just
we're done.
Yes, we're good. John, were you going to cover Bunal collection channel overflow here?
Yeah, I think so. That is, here it is. What this one's about is, as you know, we have the experimental overflow weir and the new orifice, larger orifices put in the collection channel, juvenile collection channel.
Experimental.
What they've run into is the concrete work to, you have to expand the channel, make it larger so fish don't go splat against the wall because you've got more water coming in through these structures.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is, if we wait until the normal shutdown date of December 17th. There's a good chance you won't get it done by March when we need the system up and running for the start of the fish passage season. So they want to do work above, out of water work to do to drill the concrete from the back cutting. Wall and all concrete that. Cut.
I thought we gave them the okie dokie on this, didn't we?
We did.
Okay, so
this
changed.
Is just checking in here with the rest of the people. I think you and I commented.
And you had a chance to comment, and I got the charts. Said, okay.
So then we're good to go.
Okay.
So what date are they going to start on?
They want to possibly November 15th. No.
Let's see.
Is it December 1st or November 15th?
Any construction activities in 15 November.
15. Yeah.
It's 2 weeks.
They're going to keep everything out of the promises. Yeah. They're going to put tarps and keep everything out of the collection.
You're going to do above ground, out of water work ahead of time instead of wait till the water
and dry. And it was Gary's suggestion that do this, the vibration, only 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And so then it gives them 16 hours to get out of the gate well, get through the orifice, and get downstream if they're spooked. Adults or juveniles.
Or whatever.
Yep. That was a good suggestion.
Yep. So
8 hours a day.
8 hours, limit to 8 hours a day, or is there a period of 8 hours?
Just daytime, 8 hours.
Yeah, daytime, 8 hours, that time of year.
Yes.
Okay, limit. Even the one daylight.
That is the day.
Yeah.
8 hours a day for the noise restrictions.
Yeah.
Starting November 15th.
Move out of gate wells.
That gives the fish 16 hours without any vibration or noise. Vibration, basically, you get out of it.
To reduce noise exposure.
And this is the last on, first off unit, I'm assuming. You make this your lowest priority unit so you don't run it, so you have even fewer fish there.
Well, this is
unit one six. Of them isn't even going to operate.
Exactly.
The five or six, one of those isn't operating while we're doing it.
And we talked about doing that one first and then go to the one that was operating.
Well,
there you go.
These are just experimental.
I know.
But yeah, so they're not doing it on every one of them.
He's talking about the sequence of where to start, though. So he wanted you to start with ones that weren't operating and then move to the last in sequence next unit.
Yeah. There's only two units. We want to do two units. Yes.
Okay.
So you do the one that's not scheduled to run, do that one first, and then do the next one that is scheduled to run next.
Okay.
Then go to operating.
There you go.
So the next one's going to be yours, too. But while you're getting ready for that one, I'm going to go with the one I added to the agenda. So late last night, we got a request from Little Goose asking for a date change from what they had in the fish passage plan for their doble testing. Their doble testing in the fish passage plan was 8/6 to 8/16, and the requested change puts it between August 27th and August 30th. And that's a narrower time frame, and I don't totally understand it, but that's what I got from an email.
If they can do it, then that's fine with me. That's the better way to go.
We'll remember that.
Okay.
Hey, you said you only did 4 days.
So I'm going to take that back, and if anything changes that I've been incorrect, I'm going to have to come back to you guys.
Okay,
thank you.
4 days, then 10 days.
So, John, are you ready for that last one?
Double testing doesn't have anything problem with adults. It doesn't affect the ladder.
Mostly just doesn't allow power to the JFFs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead with Lord Grant at 010, U3 exciter tip tuning and generator model validation.
Yeah. That one is... This is Unit 3, and they did some tests in Units 3 in April and March, and it kind of fizzled, and they need to redo these NERC validation testing to make sure they meet correct electrical operating parameters. They're proposing a 2-week work window between July 23rd and August 3rd, and the total time to need to test is 16 hours. So they're not asking for that 2-week block.
Yeah.
They just need a window to schedule 16 hours of tests.
What was the impact? I didn't have a chance to read this one.
I'm sorry.
What's the change operations going to be?
Well, where the change would be operating outside of 1% to check the different electrical responses, how the equipment is operating.
So it'd be outside 1% for 16 hours, or in that 16-hour time frame, they're going to be outside of 1% every so often?
Well, it's 16 hours of tests altogether spread over
But all of that testing is not outside 1%.
Right.
No.
So they're
estimating no load, speed no load for 90 minutes total. Below 1% for 300 minutes. Inside 1% for 180 minutes and above the 1% minimum for 60 minutes. That's how they anticipate.
300 minutes.
Now, it isn't like they're doing all running in one mode. It's just scrambled all over the place.
Has left the conference.
So they haven't scheduled the order of the test, so it could range all over the place.
So for 16 hours of run test time, 60 minutes of it scattered throughout the period will be outside of 1%.
Right.
Well, above 1%, then you're going to have 300 minutes below 1%.
Well, okay. Right.
So you're going to have 360, you're going to have basically 6 hours of outside of 1%
operation. Right.
Yeah, okay. Below. And
that's correct.
Low and above.
Speed no load is not good either.
Speed no load is not good. But.
So anyway, that's what they're asking for.
So what happened with the testing in March? Was it operator error or just...
No, this is a test.
What happened when they didn't do it in March? Why didn't they do
why,
it?
Why did the test not work in March?
The equipment failed.
Okay.
The equipment failed and did not meet the standard operating requirements.
I mean, you know, we got to ask this question.
So they had to do a rebuild of the exciter or whatever it was they had to redo. Now they got the new equipment in. They have to go through the test sequence.
Okay.
Could they, I mean, the other thing is since flows have dropped off and this could be, you don't need this unit right now, could this wait till... I don't know, after some date in August, like the 31st, when we stop spill?
So this is, you know, kind of a fancy name for the wet NERC testing. And I don't know, Scott, are you still on the phone?
Not if you're smart.
Okay.
Yeah, but essentially what it is that we're behind, you know, and we're kind of in that fine category for not meeting WEC NERC, and so these guys, we kind of went through this last fall at another project in terms of why did we have to do some of these coordinations, because we were doing several of them late last summer as well, and you know, so that's why they're coming through here. I think we could probably build on that. It isn't really something that should be put off, if you will, because it has to do with the reliability of the unit. That's largely what you're testing.
Which
is
unit is this?
It has to do with the reliability of the unit, the electrical system, and if they don't meet the standards, NERC can say you can't operate that unit.
Well, that's not a problem. But the thing is, you don't need that unit right now anyways, because flows are up below 40. You don't really need that unit. You might need it after 31st if flows stays up on the outage. So if you're not, you just put that as last on, first off, don't use that till August 31st, do your testing then you have your unit back for next year when you need it. So is there any reason why we couldn't wait till
after
back?
Except that we've had the unit outages, so unit one can't be operated, number two becomes priority, and number two was out this week, and number three was a priority.
So I guess the question that they're asking that we're not being able to answer, John, is why can't this be pushed out past August 30th? And so we're going to need to come back to the group with if there's good rationale why it can't. Then we need to come back to these guys and make a re-request. And you can just
usually the hardest problem is getting the crew to be available. They're always doing these. And so you have to see if they can change their schedule in order to accommodate that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what we were looking for here a few minutes ago, Scott. I'm glad you were still on.
That's right. They have to schedule the RCC and getting the contract in place, and that's what this is about, so that they can schedule the contractor to be available when they can do the test.
Last week we switched the Mice Harbor units with McNary to accommodate some of this, but they may just be out of things they have to do them finally. So check with the crew to see if it's possible.
Okay, so we'll still have the to double check if it's possible that this could be moved after August 31st. And if not, if it's due to crew availability or whatever, then we'll have to come back to FPOM group.
Send an email and say, hey, we couldn't do it, and then I'll give you the yay or nay.
Okay.
It'll most likely be a yay.
What was the date
you're
going to do it?
John, the date that you wanted to do it?
They're talking about July 23rd and August 3rd. So that's not very long.
All right.
So they're in there.
Good.
So if they can't schedule except between those two dates, what's their answer?
You're going to come back to these guys on an email with why they can't, and then they're going to either give you a thumbs up, yes, they agree, or whatever.
Just like we typically do.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, if it can't be put up, then we'll probably have to go along with it.
It's right. Like you don't have much
don't
choice.
Have to go along with it, but
we may, this still, be nice. May still do
but
it.
We want something for it.
I've been nice a lot this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, there needs to be. I know. There should be some flexibility when you come in.
Well, we had discussions, and I think even Scott came into FPOM when I was first here last year about the fact that, you know, there was a need for long-term, better coordination on this testing, so there was less of it taking place within the fish season. And I think he offered that they were trying to make an effort to help the Corps with that because we're
right,
really
the thing
so
is,
much.
This is years doing the testing at the Corps.
Uh huh.
So I can't affect it much from my side, but it is something. I believe it's every 2 or 4 years that we have to do this on every unit.
So it's sort of like global testing, in a way.
Right. So we need to get better at figuring out when the good time for it is and have enough crews so we can do it in those times.
Well, and in this case, it failed during, you know, during the preseason test, and so they're coming back now as a response to, we think we've got it, so it'll pass.
Do over.
Well, sure. No, it makes sense why they have to redo it. It's just a matter of, overall, we have to look at it as, what's the sequencing that works for us, and do we have enough staff to do it that way?
Okay.
What's your plan? Yeah, I
operate
the thing that concerned me was that you don't have that many units.
Yeah, we do screen.
Right, so whatever fish are going to
just
units,
one unit will operate.
Then that one hit, it's going to be where all the fish go when they pass the powerhouse. So, how like
this
you have all the other
during the test.
Right, so you're going to mess up passage for all the fish going through the unit. If you had five units running,
it comes back.
But, you know, at Grant, aren't we at Granite, offsetting, we've got 12K of spill versus a unit that is probably going to be kind of, it's going to be like a 50-50 split between what we're spilling and what we're putting through a unit.
I'm sorry,
so
we have more than 12K spill.
Okay, well, we may be 18K in the summer. So actually, we're off balance towards spill. And so I guess I'm just countering that everything's going to be going through the one unit. I'm not sure, you know, that's not the purpose of our operation.
I didn't say that. I said everything that goes through the powerhouse.
Okay.
Two turbines, which we know a percent will. Will be going through a unit that's not running as it should. So it's not like you have all these units and there's only one out of five or so that are running.
They're only giving enough water to run one or two units.
And that one's going to be running outside of the...
So I think the issue is still the same. We go back and ask if there's any way that this can be deferred. If there's not, then we come back with why and let these people weigh in again. And we may not have any flexibility, and we'll state that at that point in time.
Okay,
thanks.
All right.
So, Gary, if you do have to do this during the season.
So I think we might have done all of our stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We had to do some generator work.
All right, so let's talk about the thing we're all here to excited about talking about is
Mini-Jax. Cool.
Mini-Jax.
Most important question of the day. Oh, yeah. That
how do we save more Mini-Jax? Keep out of the OPS system.
This is something new with Jack in the Box.
We don't have Steve Richards on the phone, but John and I talked about that one briefly on the way down, and we think that some of that data is being collected and not reported, that we only report Jax, which is probably why the question came up. And so we really need somebody like Greg and or someone from Fish Field Unit to specifically answer that.
Well, what concerned me was I was at a Bonneville the other day talking to the fish counter, and looking at the window, and a fish goes through, you know, about yay long, Chinook, deep, going upstream, and I said, oh, Mini Jack. And she said, no, that's a juvenile. I don't think so.
Technically, she could be right.
Right, you know, I don't know. So, you know, the question is, though, that would have been a spring Chinook or spring summer Chinook. Typically, our Mini Jacks are fall. So I'm kind of wondering what's going on here, and if we're seeing, you know, a precultural rate that's different than what she expected.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the count people are expecting, and so that's different from the past. Might be good to know that if we can get an idea who these fish are, you know, some good tags, you know, which would be another thing to look at. But
this big?
That's like the size of the tail.
Maybe we ask for the next meeting. Do we want at the next meeting maybe have
some kind of analysis done?
I would just like to make sure the council folks are actually keeping track of these things.
Let's have somebody like Steve or Ann come in and then let us know what the people are doing.
Yeah, what's the protocol?
What's the protocol? Yeah. Why did she not count that as a mini jack?
What count down really was a mini jack? 12 inches.
Hmm?
Yeah. Anything less than 12 is not counted.
It was in that 12 inch range.
She should have counted.
So it's 14 and smaller is counted as a mini jack, right?
I don't know. No, I think they don't count 12.
They don't separate out mini jacks.
You know, it's 12 right.
Over 12 inches, those count as jack.
So that was his question.
Yeah, so everything less than that is just a juvenile.
The answer is no, they don't.
Well, this
was
a juvenile.
Combined together, 12 to 22.
So we will bring that to next FPOM. We'll have this discussion. Get the protocol. And that's it.
What was that again? I think some counters actually keep unofficial notes.
Yeah.
That was probably something we should revisit.
So yeah, we're going to revisit it next FPOM. We'll have
get Steve Richards and get Stancil here.
Right.
And
then we'll talk about it.
You guys see the
boom, bada bing.
Ask Ann or sure. You want to have her come maybe next time. And
yeah. We're going to do that. Okay. So I'd like to move on so we get this Bonneville summer operation and fall operations wrapped up. So at the last FPOM, we had a lot of discussion about this and. We went back and met several times and came up with the best operation that we could.
And then we took it and crumpled it through our shoulders.
And then you guys now had the opportunity to review it.
Which one?
So in a nutshell, it's Bonneville summer fall operations.
Bonneville, i.e. the issue with the gantry.
Both bonds.
So the discussion is
26.
Powerhouse 1 priority is not good in the month of August.
Nope.
Okay, so to have Powerhouse 2 available, we propose having two screened units and then operating Powerhouse 2 with unscreened units, which is a deviation from the fish passage plan. So.
Now, which two units would you have screened?
12 and 18.
12 and 18.
Or 11, or 12, okay.
12 and 18.
Well, 11 is the question.
Well, no, Garrett and I talked, because, so do you guys have an update about 11?